Pianos and Pianos and the unique technique Accelerated Piano Method guarantees you'll be playing exciting songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Click on the video now to go to their website. The unique technique Accelerated Piano Method, only at Pianos and Pianos.
Democratic senators can bridge the gap on the public insurance option and bring all the Democrats together to pass health reform. Details remain fuzzy, but the key suggestion is setting up an insurance system similar to that offered to federal workers and overseen by the same agency, along with allowing some middle-aged uninsured Americans to buy into Medicare early.
Another potential stumbling block to passage of a measure is abortion. By a vote of 55-45, the Senate defeated a proposal that would have tightened restrictions on federal funding of abortions. Majority Leader Harry Reid argued it shouldn't be a deal killer.
No one should use the issue of abortion to rob millions of the opportunity to get good health care.
Well, the administration today takes the wraps off a plan to spend nearly $600 million to build dozens of community health centers. Most of the money will fund either the rebuilding or replacing of health centers that serve more than 17 million people, many of whom lack health insurance. Well, much of the U.S. is getting clobbered. Fleets of snowplows are out across the Midwest and the East as a late autumn snowstorm barrels across the country. It's brought heavy snow, ice, and treacherous driving conditions.
That's really tough going. There's a couple spots that I flew over. This is road bumps, and I went wiggly ziggly, you know, that type of thing.
The National Weather Service is warning of extremely dangerous blizzard conditions in sections of Illinois, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Reporter Bruce Marcus is on I-90 near the Wisconsin-Minnesota border.
Right now I'm driving about 15. You can barely see out of your window, even though I have the defroster on and also have my windshield wipers on. As you can hear, there's so much snow and ice, and the wind is blowing so strongly that you can barely get any visibility.
And CBS's Dave Price is in Rochester, Minnesota.
Upwards of a foot of snow in most of the locations here. Roads not quite impassable, but visibility down to zero in a lot of locations. Right now, the temperature outside is just about 17 degrees with winds gusting as high as 38 miles per hour, and it feels like it's 2 below.
Parts of Minnesota, Nebraska, and Kansas are under blizzard warnings this morning. To the east, New England is bracing for frigid wind gusts and as much as a foot of snow.
It comes just at the worst time, right in rush hour traffic. Blowing conditions, it's pelting, it's in your face. Driving is very difficult.
Reporter Sarah Kanji of CBS station WBZ in Worcester, Massachusetts. So far, 5 deaths have been blamed on the storm. Red faces at the Transportation Safety Administration. The secret manual used by airport screeners is a secret no more. The TSA says it was improperly posted on the Internet. Though it had sections blacked out, Wired magazine editor John Abel says it didn't take smart bloggers long to restore the text.
So this was a rookie mistake, so let's just call this a very early Christmas present to the kinds of people that traffic in this kind of secret information.
A damning report from Amnesty International. It says after 3 years of investigation, it's determined that the poorly paid and undertrained Nigerian police are responsible for killing civilians because they refuse to pay bribes. A police official says extrajudicial killing is not approved in Nigeria, but could not say how many officers have been prosecuted. Time on the roundup, 4 past the hour.
Did you know that pharmacists work in hospitals? We work around the clock.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Here AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Just one trouble spot to get in your way as things do get up and running. It's metal debris in the road. This is westbound 36 on that approach to Foothills. Now, as far as the rest of the highways go, volume just starting to build a little bit in those usual spots, like southbound I-25 near 84th. Looks like 270 also getting a little bit busier across Commerce City. Loveland Pass still closed due to adverse weather conditions. Speaking of the weather, it's going to be a sunny day, high near 22. Currently, though, it's negative 7. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Thank God it's happy hour. Head down to TGI Fridays for half-priced appetizers at the bar, 4 p.m. to close. Thank God it's Fridays. Check out Fridays.com for full terms. Valid at participating locations for a limited time only.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
What up with that?
I know that sludge for brains like Bill Press,
you are a Nazi and a Stalinist.
We have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America.
This is the Bill Press Show.
When you're responsible for reading the news to a city of millions, you need a gentle touch.
As for your greasy mouth self, that might help if you stopped eating all them fries you eat, making you look 6 months pregnant.
One of the top most listened to radio shows.
That voice of yours could be an attraction at a circus.
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
Don't look now, but the public plan option in the Senate is dead. Dead as a doornail, if you ask me. Harry Reid says it's not, but man, it sure looks like it. We'll find out more today. Doesn't look good. Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Wednesday, December 9, 2009. Good to see you today. Here on the Bill Press Show, the official morning show of the Obama generation, coming to you live out to every corner of the United States of America from our radio studio on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, where the action on just down the street here at the United States Capitol building, the Senate wrestling with this public plan option and going south on it. It certainly looks like it. At the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, President Obama talking jobs, jobs, jobs. More on that today, and then heading off to Oslo to pick up the Nobel Peace Prize. And breaking news just came across the wires. Today, ABC will announce that George Stephanopoulos is the new co-host of Good Morning America starting next Monday.
Wow. Whoa, really?
Diane Sawyer's last day is Friday, and George Stephanopoulos will be there with Robin Hart starting next week, and then we'll see what happens with this week. A big move for George Stephanopoulos. I've said it before, I'm not sure it's the right one. I think he's great as the host of This Week with George Stephanopoulos. That's his strength as a good, strong political analyst and journalist. I'm not sure it's frying omelets in the morning show.
I don't know what he's thinking.
I don't know what he's thinking either.
Now you're going to replace him on This Week. That's the next big hunt.
I'm there.
Yeah, that's you.
All right. And you know what? I'll take the whole team.
Perfect.
Peter Ogburn, Dan Henning. We'll do the This Week show.
Starting. Well, I have a face for radio, so I'm happy.
Well, let's see. So if he starts Monday, so it's not this Sunday, but the following Sunday is when we'll start.
We'll start. Right? Yeah. Okay, good.
All right, we'll take over. Team Press.
Love it.
Team Press moves in. Yes, good and then tonight, of course, the biggest television. A show of the year, Barbara Walters, Barbara Wawa comes up with her most fascinating people of the year, and believe it or not, somehow Glenn Beck is on the list. What makes him so fascinating? He's got an idea.
How do you go from being a drug addicted, alcoholic, disc jockey?
What a compliment.
To being one of the most fascinating and influential people today.
That was your choice. I don't know how I got onto this program.
But you are.
It shows how desperate America is for somebody who is who they are.
But the two of them together. Right?
Seriously.
They like deserve each other. Oh, how desperate America is for someone like me.
God.
Americans are looking for someone just like them. Utterly insane.
And why is it that all the right-wing talk show hosts, right, are all former drug-addicted alcoholics?
What a great intro.
Disc jockeys.
Some of them still are.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
How do you feel about being a drug-addicted alcoholic disc jockey?
Disc jockey loser.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the only thing that was missing.
Right. So who though, is number one? Who is the most fascinating of all? Mirror, mirror on the wall, tell us.
The only thing I will say about the most fascinating person is, in general, this is a program that features some very strong women.
Yeah. Well, she's not talking about Oprah.
No.
She's not talking about...
You don't think it's Queen Oprah?
I don't think it's Oprah.
I don't think it's Michelle Obama.
I don't think it's Taylor Swift.
I don't think it's Taylor Swift. I bet you it's Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There goes her reputation.
Yeah.
I mean, Barbara Walters.
Although I have to say, in terms of fascinating,
Michelle Obama.
Like, if we're talking fascinating people, right? I'm fascinated by Sarah Palin.
Actually, no, I think isn't Sarah Palin on the list? Isn't she one of the nine that's already been announced?
Oh, I don't know.
I think she actually might be. So I think Michelle Obama might be the one.
I doubt it. Well, let's see. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe. My prediction is Sarah Palin.
Maybe Desiree Rogers. Hey, or Mikhail Salahi.
Yeah.
All right.
She is fascinating.
Yeah, she's going to be fascinated when she puts her orange jumpsuit on. Coming up a little bit later, yes, TSA, did you hear? They have put online the entire manual of how to get through airport security with a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, isn't that nice? Just a big public service there for the terrorist. What the hell happened there? Neil Livingston's going to tell us all about it. And John Conyers in trouble with a big man. But first...
This is the Full Court Press.
Other headlines making news. John and Kate's plus eight miss being on TV. Kate Gosselin talking about Barbara Walters. She's on the special tonight. And she says that the kids don't understand why the TV show is over and keep asking Mom where the cameras are. She said they cried when she told them they'd never be back.
Oh, God, those kids are so screwed
up. Start saving up for therapy now.
Yes, exactly.
God. The decade in entertainment. MSNBC has recapped what it calls the 10 biggest moments in showbiz over the last 10 years. They include the rise of reality shows with the start of Survivor in 2000, the invention of TiVo and DVRs, the Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction of 2004, Anna Nicole Smith's death, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston split, Britney Spears' fall from grace, Paris Hilton going to jail, and the death of Michael Jackson.
I was
going
to say, Michael Jackson's got
to
be there.
Had to be in there.
And now Tiger Woods.
Yeah, really.
The end of an era at ESPN. Avid sports fans know Peter Gammons as one of the network's chief baseball analysts. This is his last week at the cable channel. He's been there since 1988. Gammons has not announced his plans, but has said he's looking for a less hectic schedule.
Okay. You can see Peter Gammons, by the way, on any $20 bill if you open your wallet. That looks a lot like Andrew Jackson.
Does he really?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. I guess the moral of the story here is, welcome to the Bill Press Show, but be careful what you say. Because you never know who's listening. Can't wait to tell you about this. So this is a headline in the Hill newspaper yesterday, the great little paper that covers doings on Capitol Hill here in Washington, D.C. And when I saw this headline, I thought, uh-oh, headline. President Obama told me to stop demeaning him, says Representative Conyers. And yes, John Conyers, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, the great John Conyers from Michigan, now 80 years old, by the way, he got a call the other day from President Obama. President Obama himself tracked him down and said to him he wanted to know why Conyers was demeaning him. Here's what Conyers says about it. He says, Obama called me, quote, here's what he told The Hill, Obama called me and told me that he heard that I was demeaning him. And I had to explain to him that it wasn't anything personal. It was just an honest difference on the issues. And Obama told him, well, let's talk about it. What was the president talking about? He was talking about, as the article points out, a November 19 interview that John Conyers gave to you and me right here on the Bill Press Show. I asked John Conyers, started out asking him about the health care bill in the House and whether this was what he expected from hearing President Obama talk so much about health care during the campaign. Hear from that interview with John Conyers on November 19.
You know, I'm getting tired of saving Obama's can in the White House. I mean, he only won by 5 votes in the House. And this bill wasn't anything to write home about. The public option's only available, which is the only way you manage costs and give some competition to 1,300 other health insurance companies. The only way he could have got that through is that progressives held their nose and voted for the plan anyway.
Right. And you know that John Conyers and Dennis Kucinich were the two who put forth the single-payer option. He's right on that. That's the best way to go. It's where we should have started. And the compromise version in the House is nowhere near as good as a public plan option, and it is pretty soft. Of course, it's a hell of a lot better than what was proposed by Harry Reid in the United States Senate, and certainly a hell of a lot better than what it looks like we're going to get stuck with in the U.S. Senate. But still, for many of us, and certainly for John Conyers, having to compromise and the liberals always having to cave in. Remember, this was not tied to Medicare rates as the liberals wanted it. This was not, again, single payer, which most liberals supported in the House. So John Conyers is disappointed, and he certainly expressed his disappointment in very colorful terms. And he's tired of having to cover President Obama's butt. So I followed up with this question about whether or not he's satisfied with the level of leadership that we've seen from the White House on this issue. Do you think the president has shown enough leadership on this issue?
I wonder why you'd ask me that question. Of course not. Of course, holding hands out and beer on Friday nights in the White House and bowing down to every nutty right-wing proposal about health care and saying on occasion that public options aren't all that important is doing a disservice to the Barack Obama that I first met, who was an ardent single-payer enthusiast himself.
Now, I got to tell you, when I heard John Conyers make those remarks, I'm thinking to myself, whoa, man, he is really on fire today. He is really out there today. But, you know, John Conyers is out there on many issues. He's made news on our program before when he said, I asked him last year sometime, I think, about whether or not the House Judiciary Committee would recommend to the Justice Department that they hold hearings and actually file charges, criminal charges against George Bush and Dick Cheney. John Conyers said, stay tuned. So, look, he's been around long enough. He says what he thinks. And good for him. I wish we had more politicians like that. But at any rate, I knew he was going to make a few waves there. And in fact, his comments were picked up. I think they were repeated, those comments that we just heard, on the Hill newspaper, on Politico, Huffington Post, Drudge, a lot of the different sites. And they made it all the way to the White House, and President Obama was not happy with it. So what does it tell you? Well, it tells you, I think, two things. Number one, it tells you, hi, Mr. President. Nice to have you with us again this morning, and thank you for tuning in. And, yes, or one of these days maybe you'll call in and complain yourself about something you hear on the Bill Press Show. But honored to have you among our listeners, Mr. President, number one. Number two, I think it shows that President Obama's got a thin skin. You may not think so. You may think the criticism just rolls off him, but obviously it doesn't, particularly when it comes from someone that he respects. And I remember John Conyers told us one time on the show about how Barack Obama came to him and sat down and got his advice before he ran for president. And I think the third thing it shows is that he is sensitive to criticism. And so that's an encouragement to us, I think, when we think he's wrong, is to say so and let him know. Let him know, as his supporters, as his friends, that we're not happy with the direction he's taking, maybe on health care or on Afghanistan or whatever help it is, because it rings a bell with President Obama. John Conyers, John Conyers in hot water. We love you, Senator, Congressman Conyers, and come on back on the show and make some more waves as soon as you can.
Actively interactive
at BillPressShow.com.
The Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Give remote users secured access to network resources.
Barracuda Networks can help.
The Barracuda SSL VPN is an integrated hardware and software solution, enabling secure, clientless remote access to internal network resources from any web browser on a PC, Mac, or smartphone. With no software to install, no per-user fees, and a quick installation, the Barracuda SSL VPN empowers your staff with valuable network resources from anywhere. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
Announcing the Ally Bank online savings account with the rate that's among the most competitive in the country. If you're waiting for the terms and conditions, forget about it. It really is that straightforward. Nothing confusing, hazy, ambiguous, dubious, or dodgy. No double dealing, double speak, or double meanings. Just an online savings account with a great rate. Compare rates for yourself at allybank.com or call Ally at 877-247-ALLY. Ally, straightforward. Member FDIC.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-914-5076. That's 1-800-914-5076. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-914-5076. That's 1-800-914-5076.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Winter driving is just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snowplows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snowplows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snowplow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind the plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Here, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk on your iPhone or BlackBerry. Details on am760.net.
Previously on the Bill Press Show.
As a hardworking person who listens both to your station and maybe the conservative station, I want to know, how do I get the facts? Get the facts that I'm sure you can agree with me just by listening to a radio person. Now, how do I know what's the truth?
I got an answer for you, Joe. Listen to the Bill Press Show. You'll get the facts. You'll get the truth every day.
Podcasts on demand. Log on to BillPressShow.com. Purchase a Bill Press podcast subscription and never miss a minute. This is the Bill Press Show.
25 minutes after the hour, the Bill Press Show brought to you by the International Association of Iron Workers. Yes, indeed, the good men and women of the iron workers. They don't go to the office. They build the office. Find out more, visit their website at www.ironworkers.org. Yeah, and that's all of our podcast subscribers today will be putting up a couple of things exclusive for our podcast subscribers, this week's uncensored emails, and also a very, very interesting interview, I think, with Matt Taibbi, the great columnist for the Rolling Stone magazine, posted a little bit later today.
I'm excited for the uncensored emails. This is my new favorite segment.
You just like dirty talk.
Yeah, well, that's me.
Obscene language that we can't use, on the air. President giving his big speech yesterday at the Brookings Institute. President Obama outlining several things that the administration is going to do to help the job situation, including using, I think this is the best idea, using some of those leftover TARP dollars that are just laying around there that were originally intended for Wall Street, for the banks, and putting them to work, creating new construction jobs. President Obama says this is a possibility we're going to take advantage of.
This gives us a chance to pay down the deficit faster than we thought possible and to shift funds that would have gone to help the banks on Wall Street to help create jobs on Main Street.
Now, notice he talked about two things. He said some of that money will go to pay down the deficit. The other will be used to create new jobs. Republicans are saying, no. We got to put it all toward the deficit, President Obama said. No. Baloney.
Those who claim we have to choose between paying down our deficits on the one hand and investing in job creation and economic growth on the other. This is a false choice.
Yeah, and don't you love it that the Republicans have suddenly, now that George Bush is out of the White House, they suddenly have become deficit hawks again. I mean, look, they're just, as we've said before, I mean, they're just against everything. They were against the stimulus. They were against bailing out our great auto manufacturers. They were against the Cash for Clunkers program. They're against health care. They're against reforming Medicare. And now they're against creating jobs. In fact, listen to Mike Pence from Indiana, what he thinks about Obama's plan.
For this president or this Democratic Congress to propose using TARP funds for anything other than deficit reductions is simply a violation of the law.
He says it's illegal. It's illegal to take money from Wall Street and give it to Main Street. That just shows what the Republican Party stands for. All they stand for are the big banks, the big financial institutions, the wealthiest people in this country who got the Bush tax breaks, and now they want to get all the stimulus money. God forbid that any of that money go to the middle class. Republicans hate that idea.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Do you know why so many people have trouble learning new languages? Because they make the mistake of trying to learn it when they should just absorb it. And right now, a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone will show you how. So stop memorizing, stop translating, and please stop doing drill after boring drill. Because now you can unlock your hidden language learning potential with the world's fastest, easiest way to learn, Rosetta Stone. We don't want you to take our word for it. We don't even want you to listen to the U.S. diplomats, over 10,000 schools, or NASA, who all believe in our program. We just hope you'll accept our free demo so you can experience the power of Rosetta Stone for yourself. Discover the secret to learning a language faster than you ever imagined. For your free demo, call 1-800-377-9196. Don't try to learn a language. Just absorb it. Call 1-800-377-9196. That's 1-800-377-9196.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit MatrixDirect.com.
Do you think you're getting your money's worth for your life insurance policy? Because if you're 40 and married and are paying more than $14 a month, chances are you're paying too much. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. And if you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-500-2609. Since 1995, Matrix Direct has helped over a million people save money on their term life insurance. Don't you want to know how much we could save you? It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 75%, and the call is absolutely free. Call Matrix Direct, 1-800-500-2609. That's 1-800-500-2609. 1-800-500-2609.
Trying to lose weight? Well, if you say yes to the following, you will qualify for a free weight loss trial. Please listen carefully. Are you trying to lose more than 20 pounds? Are you 18 or over? Have you given up on dieting? If you said yes to all of the above, congratulations. You qualify for a free weight loss trial. To experience the 14-day slim down, call within the next 24 hours and claim your free two-week supply. The number is 1-800-600-0807. Please note that if you are currently dieting on your own, with a popular weight loss program, or with special prepared foods, you are not eligible for this free program. Again, if you are trying to lose over 20 pounds, are 18 or over, and are currently not using any other diet program, you are eligible to participate in the free weight loss trial. Results are guaranteed. If you don't see results, you don't pay for the trial. To experience the 14-day slim down for free, call 1-800-600-0807. You must call within the next 24 hours. 1-800-600-0807.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Traffic's still in good shape for us this morning. There are going to be some slick spots around town, so do be careful on the bridges, ramps, and overpasses. Heaviest spots right now, southbound I-25 and Thornton, 104th to 84th. And in Aurora, southbound 225, Colfax to Alameda. In the high country, Loveland Pass shut down for bad weather conditions. Your forecast, still cold with wind chills making it feel like minus 20 to minus 30 degrees below. Our high this afternoon is going to be in the mid-teens. Currently, it's minus 8 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Save big on Christmas gifts at JCPenney. Get $10 off when you spend $50 with JCPenney Instant Money. Doorbusters are this Saturday, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Go to jcp.com for your instant money coupon. Style, quality, and price matter. JCPenney.
I'm Ellie the Mammy, and my friend Sid the Sloth knows what being a great parent is all about.
I'm responsible, loving, nurturing.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
33 minutes after the hour, Wednesday, December 9, 2009. It is the Bill Press Show. We are coming to you live, coast to coast, this Wednesday morning from our little radio studio on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. Stunning news yesterday that the TSA, Transportation Security Administration, of course, has inadvertently posted on its online, rather, so that everybody can read it, its airport screening procedures. Brian Ross from ABC News last night reported this news and told about, you know, how serious it is.
It's being called the most serious security breach since the creation of the TSA after the 9/11 attacks. The 93-page document, mistakenly posted online by the TSA, reveals the agency's most sensitive airport screening secrets, and it has now been distributed around the world on the Internet.
Well, for his take on this, we're going to turn to a good friend, author of 9 books on dealing with terrorism and CEO of Executive Action, Mr. Neil Livingston. Neil, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Bill.
How serious is this? Is Brian Ross exaggerating, or is this pretty serious stuff?
Well, it is pretty serious stuff, and it shouldn't have happened. It's like giving away the family jewels. What TSA needs to do now is to take a hard look at how they might improve or modify those procedures so that they haven't told every terrorist in the world, essentially, how to beat the system.
How did it happen? Do we know? Was it just, why would anybody post this, you know, in a position where somebody could take it and circulate it?
Well, it was inadvertently done. Obviously, someone didn't do it on purpose, but it just shows a lack of care, a sloppiness, an inability to handle these kinds of sensitive matters in the way that they should be. When we have the security breaches like this, they are very, very destructive, and they cost in many cases millions of dollars to put right, because we're going to have to alter some of these procedures and improve them at this point, or essentially every terrorist in the world is going to know how to get on a plane and beat the system.
Yeah, for example, to be specific, I know, Brian, I saw this report last night. He talked about it showed, for example, the kinds of wires that can get through the machine undetected, right, which would indicate the kind of wires, if you have these kind of wires for a bomb-making device, you could slip it through in your suitcase.
That's right.
Now, how do they fix something like that?
Well, there are a variety of things that we know can get through the system. We did research related to the 9/11 cases, which indicated that if you positioned a certain number of articles in different ways, they would probably slip through the system, and they would only be caught if they were laid flat in the suitcase, for example. Well, it's things like that people in the business have known for some time. Certain wires, certain types of deadly instruments that if they were positioned differently in a bag, could probably get through. And what TSA is going to have to do is go, as I say, back to the drawing boards right now. We better figure out how to get some of these things that we already know are because their TSA employees really don't have the ability, or nor are they taught to look for them if they're positioned certain ways.
Now, this is you're an expert in this area, and you've designed many security systems yourself, particularly to protect businesses. How much confidence should we have in the whole TSA airport security system?
Well,
even before, you know, this leak. I mean, you know, you go there, you have to take your coat off, take your shoes off, put your bag through. How good is it, really?
Well, I'll tell you that in the minds of many of the people that put the system together after 9/11, it was as much to reassure the public that steps were being taken.
Mm-hmm.
It was for public consumption as it was to deter terrorists, because we still know that we have a lot of vulnerabilities aboard aircraft, not the least the cargo hold, for example.
Right.
So we know we have these vulnerabilities, but we needed to get the public back on planes again, commerce moving in the United States, and so there was a certain showcase element to what we did in terms of the security changes afterwards. Now, they'll catch a clumsy person going through the system, but a very shrewd person probably could beat the system even today.
Neil Livingston, I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's been my feeling all along. Neil Livingston's our guest. He's CEO of Executive Action, one of the country's best anti-terrorism experts. So, Neil, this security breach comes on the heels of the security breach at the White House by this couple from Northern Virginia. How do you rate that? Just a slip up, or something that we really should be pretty concerned about?
Well, we should be concerned about it, but it has a lot to do with the chaos of how the Obama administration is administering things these days. The White House social secretary, who should have been in charge and should have been working rather than being a guest at the function, had not posted any of her staff at the entrance where the Salahis came in.
As other administrations have always done.
Yeah, every administration. It's not a partisan issue. They've always had certain procedures. But they didn't do it because they really have a lot of problems, we understand, in terms of the way that they are, you know, operating. And that, you know, they have not been successful at even running the White House, much less the country, in my judgment, on many basic things.
Well, yeah, you and I may differ on some of those, you know, some of those issues, but in terms of the need for somebody from the social office to be there at the gate, absolutely, that should have been there, and it was a big screw up that they were not. So it's not fair. At the same time, I guess we have to say the Secret Service also screwed up here.
Absolutely, it was the uniform division of the Secret Service, and they had three guys manning the door, and it was raining outside, and they saw the Salahis, they were dressed properly, and so on. So rather than make them stand, they brought them in, and they still went through all the screening procedures. Now, they went through the magnetometers and things like that. They were not the only place that they failed was to really make sure that they were real guests and that they were invited. Now, the fear comes later on that if they had been terrorists and they had gotten in, and we know they got close to Obama and to Biden and others.
Shook their hands. I mean,
exactly. And, you know, we assume that there were sharp knives on the tables. We assume that there were lots of heavy things in the room that you could have bludgeoned someone with. So if they had been terrorists or crazy people and they had used improvised weapons that they found once they were in the White House, yes, they probably could have harmed someone.
Or if they had carried in chemical agents of some kind, right, which a magnetometer would not have picked up.
Well, we have great concern. We do have some sensors down at the White House, and we have great concern about even people on the tours going through, shall we say, with chemical and or biological agents, even more frightening that they would release. We do have sensors for those things, and they probably would have triggered the sensors.
Do you think criminal charges should be filed against the Salahis?
Well, I think there should be a special purgatory for the Salahis. The more that we learn about them, the more distasteful they become.
This is their specialty, right? Breaking and entering or crashing parties or whatever. Yeah.
And not paying their bills. It appears that they've stiffed everyone in the area. So, you know, I'm not sure that their most serious problems today are the getting into the White House.
I think you may be right. Now, Neil, last thing I want to ask you about. The New York Times reported just Friday, I think it was, that in Pakistan, the CIA is very active there. They've got covert agents on the ground. Maybe this is not news for a lot of people. And they've got these drones, of course, which are being operated from Langley, remote, you know, all the way over in in Pakistan. Is the do we really have a third war going on? And is the CIA, now we just accept as a paramilitary operation that, in effect, is fighting its own war in Pakistan?
Well, I just came from Pakistan. I was with the president of Pakistan for several days, and I know that the Pakis would like to have more control of the drones themselves. They've asked for them. To date, we're the ones that are operating those drones. And Jim Woolsey tells the story, the former CIA director, that when the drones first essentially drone technology was introduced here, they took it over to the Pentagon, and the Pentagon said, oh, we're going to need $600 million to do this, even to get started, and so on and so forth. And so they took it over to the CIA. The Woolsey introduced it over there. And for $3 million, they stood up the program. Rather than go through all this elaborate bureaucracies that the Pentagon often goes through. And that's why the CIA has primacy on the drones today.
But is that their mission to be conducting warfare, basically?
Well, I don't disagree with that mission, as long as there's proper oversight and it's done correctly. In this case, this is a semi-covert war. In other words, the Pakistan government, for obvious domestic reasons, doesn't want to acknowledge the level of support it's giving to the United States government. On the other hand, the United States government wants to be able to carry out these attacks so that we're, without troops on Pakistani soil. So we're using drones to attack Al-Qaeda and Taliban officials. So I don't disagree with the agency having this. Obviously, if they're engaged in military or paramilitary actions, there should be proper oversight over that.
Neil Livingston, good information. As always, you're the man on the scene, and you know the field. Hey, Neil, good to talk to you again. Thanks so much for your time.
Good to talk to you, and I'll wait to hear the Salahis on your show.
So will I. Thanks, Neil. Talk to you
Thank
soon.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, let's...
The Bill Press Show continues.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children, and for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this.
Go to freedom47.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom47.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom47.com. Freedom47.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Traffic's still in good shape for us this morning. There are going to be some slick spots around town, so do be careful on the bridges, ramps, and overpasses. Heaviest spots right now, southbound I-25 and Thornton, 104th to 84th. And in Aurora, southbound 225, Colfax to Alameda. In the high country, Loveland Pass shut down for bad weather conditions. Your forecast, still cold with wind chills making it feel like minus 20 to minus 30 degrees below. Our high this afternoon is going to be in the mid-teens. Currently, it's minus 8 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
You know, when it comes to car batteries failing, it happens to all of us. That's why Interstate Batteries has developed the ED18 tester so you'll know before your battery fails. I'm Norm Miller, chairman of Interstate Batteries, encouraging you to get your battery tested. Get the peace of mind that comes from knowing you'll hear this. Instead of this. Call 1-800-CRANK-IT or visit InterstateBatteries.com to find the dealer nearest you. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
Hey, do you owe money? Have big bills?
Hello, yes, I'm talking to you.
Well, here's what I want you to do. Go outside and get a big rock. Now, I want you to squeeze that rock real hard to see if you can get water to come out of it. Not happening, right? Well, that's the same thing as you paying back more money than you have or make. The reality is the only way you're going to get rid of all of your debts is to settle them for less than what you owe. Well, as crazy as this sounds, this is exactly what the partner companies and National Debt Relief will do for you. If you have credit card debt, department store card debt, gas card debt, medical bills, payday loan debt, in fact, any unsecured debt, National Debt Relief firms will help you settle those debts for less than what you owe. It's that simple. But you have to call them. Get a pen and take down this number or store it in your cell phone. 1-800-554-3775. When you call this number, you're going to get free information that holds the secrets the creditors don't want you to know that lets you pay less than you owe. Call 1-800-554-3775. 1-800-554-3775. This is a limited time offer, so call today. 1-800-554-3775.
Get ready to take down a number that will change the way you look at home loans forever. I call it My Bank, My Loan, My Way. It's a line of credit that pays off your existing loan and keeps your equity available to you when you need it. And it uses your normal household checking account to lower your average daily balance, and you pay a lot less interest, which shortens your loan without changing your spending habits. The best home loan ever. 866-259-8206. 866-259-8206.
This is the Liberals' answer to going rogue. Shows the true Sarah Palin. Whole mess of essays and articles put together by the editors of The Nation magazine, Sarah Palin, An American Nightmare. And not in the bookstores, but you can get it on the website at BillPressShow.com. Order a copy for yourself and five or six copies, 10 or 12 for your best friends. good holiday present, and a lot of fun to read. I've been reading it and really enjoying it. President Obama just announced he's going to be meeting with the leaders of America's banks. He's met with them before at the White House. He wants them back in. He's going to meet with them on Monday and basically say, why the hell are you sitting on your money, and why aren't you putting out loans to small businesses so we can get this economy moving? Again, a little kick in the butt there on the part of the president for the big bankers on Monday. Meanwhile, last night, news on health care coming from a very terse announcement from Majority Leader Harry Reid in the Senate.
We have a broad agreement.
Yep, that's it, a broad agreement. Okay, well, what's it all about, Harry? Tell us.
We can't disclose the details of what we've done, but believe me, we've got something that's good, that I think is very, for us, it moves this bill way down the road.
Trust me, he says. Trust me, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Once you hear about it, you're going to like it. And he says, don't believe what you hear in the media.
All the things you've read in the newspaper. For example, one of our people ran in, and I won't mention which of the news outlets did it. The public option is gone. It's not true. Okay? Everyone understand that.
Yeah. Guess what? I think the public option is gone. It sure looks like it to me. Now, look, I'll keep an open mind on this thing because I'm basically an optimist, but I'm also a realist. And I think what has happened here is pretty clear. And we'll know the details once it comes back. They've sent it off to the Congressional Budget Office to get a whole analysis of it before they announce it publicly. But there's no doubt they have remember, there was no public plan option in the bill that came out of the Senate Finance Committee. Harry Reid put one in, even though states could opt out of it, on the floor. Not as good as what was in the House, but at least it was pretty good. That's gone. They have dumped that. Now, what have they replaced it with? We don't really know all the details, but we do know the broad outline. They replaced it with a sort of a hybrid. Part of the hybrid is that people 55 and up, not 65 now, but Medicare is going to be extended to people 55 and up. People could buy into, if they're in that age bracket, could buy into Medicare or buy into Medicaid. That's good as far as it goes. But, you know, if they're going to do that, why didn't they just open up Medicare to everybody and Medicaid to everybody? As I think you've heard me say here before on the show, that's where they should have gone. Medicare Part E. Right? Medicare for everybody. That would be a lot better. So they just go down to 55 on Medicare. That's one part of the new plan. And the other part of the new plan is, this is the fuzzy part, that they would authorize a whole series of optional plans that people could buy in various states, private insurance plans. So not a public plan option. These are private insurance plans that are overseen by the Federal Office of Personnel Management with no cost controls over them. And then, as I understand it, as what I've read, that if those private insurance companies don't provide a really competitive option, then sometime down the road, 5 years, 10 years from now, then they could kick in and have a public plan option. To me, it sounds like this is just the trigger. This is the states opting in, and there would be a trigger. We don't have to wait for a trigger. We don't have to know that the private insurance companies, given the opportunity, is going to screw these new customers they're going to get. I mean, that's what they've been doing the entire time there's been health insurance. So I think this is a sellout. I think the Democrats have betrayed us on health care in the Senate, and the public plan option is dead. And I just wish President Obama would stand up and say, you know what? I'm not going to sign that stinking bill because it's worse than no bill at all. More on that tomorrow. I'll be back with a parting shot.
The Bill Press Show continues.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
AM760.net.
Are you tired?
tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children, and for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom47.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom47.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 47.com. Freedom47.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
License 707-193. Hey, do you currently own a home or maybe you're purchasing a home and you know for an absolute fact that you'll be out of that house within 5 years? Well, here's the deal. Lenox Financial is currently offering 5-year adjustable rate mortgages in the fours. I usually hate adjustable mortgages, but these rates are at historic lows. Most have no closing costs, and if you're out in 5 years, you can't get hurt. If you have a large mortgage, you're going to save hundreds every month and thousands every year. Now, if you're going to be there longer than 5 years, go easy, boy. Settle in with a good fixed and don't risk it. But if you're positive, absolutely positive, that you won't be in your house more than 5 years, you need to consider this thing. Whether you're buying a house or refinancing, don't blow thousands of dollars in savings because of what might happen 5 years from now when you've already moved. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of Earth. Call Lenox Financial, 720-889-9400. That's Lenox Financial, 720-889-9400.
In national news, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of classic U.S. silver coins. At the end of this broadcast, we'll provide a toll-free number you can call to receive free information and a free DVD. Millions of classic U.S. silver coins were damaged in circulation, and millions more were melted down during World War I for their precious silver content, leaving relatively few in existence. But a hoard of shining, brilliant, uncirculated silver coins, saved from destruction, were amassed and stored away in vaults. Today, in a startling announcement, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited quantity of these shimmering U.S. silver coins with a historical legacy beyond their silver value. Available on a first-come, first-served basis by calling 1-800-400-1841. To receive the free collector's DVD, call now. The number again is 1-800-400-1841. That's 1-800-400-1841.
Hear AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, on your iPhone or BlackBerry. Details on am760.net.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this Wednesday, December 9, my parting shot for today. You know, it was a good movie, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. But now the Hidden Dragon's turned around and bit the Crouching Tiger in the ass. Gatorade's become the first major sponsor to drop Tiger Woods. They don't want him selling their sports drink anymore, and you can bet they won't be the last. Can Buick or Nike be far behind? And Tiger Woods has nobody to blame but himself. Not so much for what he did, but for how badly he handled it. Indeed, from now on, Tiger Woods would not only be remembered as the world's greatest golfer, he'll also be remembered for having the dumbest, most arrogant, and most unsuccessful public relations strategy. If only Tiger had come out early, admitted his mistake, and asked forgiveness, nobody would be talking about it anymore, and nobody would care how many different women came forward. Instead, as we've seen, Tiger first refused to talk to the police, like most of us would have to. Then he refused to talk to the media and make a public apology. So the name of every new mistress, true or not, became a major story, and the mighty Tiger's career fell apart. And now, looking back, Tiger should have learned from David Letterman. Instead, looks to me like he took all of his cues from Gary Condit. Yeah, remember how well that worked? That's my parting shot for today, folks. Speaking of Tiger, John Feinstein, sports writer, probably the best in the world, is going to come on the show tomorrow. We'll know more about that Senate health plan and whether or not there's still a public option left. All of that tomorrow.
This
is the Bill Press.
By now, you've heard a lot about Ovation Cell Therapy and how it helps restore dry, brittle, damaged hair and the amazing results for growing your hair thicker, fuller, stronger, longer, and faster. Guaranteed. But did you know that after 15 years, over 500,000 customers have never asked for their money back? Because it works. I've been using Ovation for less than a week, but I love it already. Your website claimed people noticed a difference after a couple of days of use, and I have to agree with them. Thanks for a wonderful product. Ovation Cell Therapy works on all hair types to help restore dry, brittle, thinning, or damaged hair. And it'll work for you, too. Just a simple shampoo and rinse application with no side effects. It's even safe and effective for chemotherapy hair loss recovery. And it's unconditionally guaranteed. Log on to ovationhair.com to learn more and enter AM760 at checkout for a special offer. Grow your hair thicker, fuller, stronger, and longer, faster. Visit ovationhair.com and remember to enter AM760 for your special offer. ovationhair.com.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. An ice scraper can come in handy. But it's hardly the answer to the monster storm that's got much of middle America in its grip. In Des Moines, the mercury is down to 12 degrees, but a howling wind makes it feel like 10 below. And it's snowing like a bandit.
You can't even hardly see it across the street. It's going completely horizontal. There's probably a 3-foot drift of snow.
CBS News early show weatherman Dave Price tells us things aren't any better in Rochester, Minnesota.
It's blinding once you get outside. It's piercing to the skin because the snow is blowing so hard. There's no sign of let up. No matter which direction you look at, the snow's either blowing at you or blowing through you. It is awful out here.
The plows are out across the region. But authorities are telling people to stay off the roads. At least 5 deaths have been reported, and some flights have been delayed. Is it in or out? CBS's Bob Fuss tells us Senate health care reform negotiators have replaced the controversial public option for a government-run insurance program.
10 Democrats came up with a system modeled after the health insurance federal workers have. Private companies competing and overseen by a government office trying to get the best deal. There's also a proposal to let people between the ages of 55 and 64 buy into Medicare early if they need insurance.
Ex-Democratic Party Chairman Howard Dean hopes the compromise will nail down the 60 votes needed to pass the bill.
I judge all these plans by whether they move things forward or move things backward. This moves things forward.
A new analysis shows that big chains like McDonald's and Burger King do a much better job than the government of inspecting beef and chicken for dangerous germs. USA Today claims the government has supplied tons of substandard meat to school lunchrooms. Chris Waldrop is with the Consumer Federation of America.
We need to look at what's going on in the private sector and then raise the bar for the standards for the school lunch program.
3 years have come and gone since the Vioxx scandal, but a report to Congress says the Food and Drug Administration still hasn't made the changes necessary to keep potentially dangerous drugs off the market. Some big states that stood to lose seats in Congress may not, after all. Live to CBS's Steve Kathan. Why is that, Steve?
Well, because a new rush of immigrants is giving a population boost in big cities like New York, Miami, L.A., and Chicago. That means New York, Illinois, and California might hang on to House seats. New York stood to lose 2 because of population shifts, but now might just lose 1. Florida could add 1 or 2. And the Sun Belt is cooling off because of the housing crisis that's keeping more people from moving. Texas was aiming to gain 4 seats, Arizona 2. Now it's more like 3 and 1. Frank.
Census data shows that people who live in poor neighborhoods tend to live shorter lives than those who don't, regardless of diet, lifestyle, and other individual risk factors. S&P futures are up 4 points just ahead of the opening bell. This is CBS News.
At Intuit, we love buttons. Start buttons, send buttons, you push the button and it just happens. Well, we do the same thing with your small business payroll. Intuit Online Payroll has a Create Paychecks button. When you need to pay your employees, just type in their hours and push the Create Paychecks button. Intuit Payroll does all the calculations to create your paychecks and helps you pay your taxes. There's even live help if you need it. Get a 30-day free trial of Intuit Online Payroll at Intuit.com. That's Intuit.com.
Some brands benchmark their competition. Chevy goes even further and looks at the best of the best. You can see it in their fit and finish and the meticulous attention to detail paid to their new cars and crossovers. People are noticing too, including the toughest of critics. In fact, no one has more Consumer's Digest Best Buys for the 2010 model year than Chevy, with award-winning cars and crossovers. Compare Chevy to anyone, and may the best car win.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. It's a record breaker. The temperature hits 17 below zero overnight at DIA, and it remains dangerously cold across Colorado this morning. Police spent hours last night trying to help the homeless find shelter. Paramedics from Denver Health spent much of their time responding to calls from the homeless suffering from exposure and frostbite. Lieutenant Dave Crowell says the weather is tough on his people, too.
You could see our paramedics hopping off the ambulance and with whole different layers of clothes on, sweaters and coats, but you really do need a little bit of a contact with patients, too.
Crowell says they picked up a number of people who were intoxicated and didn't even realize they had frostbite. Republic Airways says 140 Frontier employees in Denver will be able to keep their jobs, but those jobs will move from Denver to Indianapolis. Other Frontier jobs in human resources and finance are being considered for relocation to Republic's headquarters in Indianapolis. In sports, the Nuggets dropped one to the Charlotte Bobcats last night. The final was 107-95. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where we've got a couple different trouble spots. We've got an accident blocking up two lanes of travel. This is southbound I-25 at 84th. We're seeing backups stretching all the way to 120th. Speeds are going to dip down into the single digits through there. There's also a crash boulderbound 36th. This is west of Church Ranch. Again, you're going to see some significant slowdowns as you are heading west. Accident eastbound I-70 near Quebec. Not really backing things up, but it's also causing some problems on 270 as you're trying to jump onto I-70. Crash southbound I-25 at Colfax should be out of your way shortly. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect a sunny day, high of about 22, 23 degrees. Currently very cold, though. It's checking in at a minus 7. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Let K&H Home Solutions show you how to stay warm and comfy this winter with special holiday pricing on their full line of quality windows and qualify for up to $1,500 in energy tax credits. It's easy. Just visit K&H at letstalkwindows.com. That's letstalkwindows.com.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Bye, bye, bye.
706 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It is so cold out there. It is like we're living on the ice planet Hoth. We are living on the ice planet Hoth. And if you don't have to go outside, I strongly suggest not going outside.
It's one of those mornings where you wish you could just crawl inside a tauntaun and just sleep for a couple hours, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to figure out ways to not have to take Monty out last night, but that didn't work out.
My poor dog this morning when I left, you know, about around 5:15 this morning, I had to let my dog out, and he was seriously, he went outside, and we have a deck that goes downstairs, and he went out and looked like he wanted to go to the bathroom, turned around and came back inside. He's like, screw that.
Yeah, well, I have one of those dogs that doesn't get cold, ever.
I know. Monty likes the snow. He's kind of a snow dog, isn't he?
It's extremely strange. He can be perfectly comfortable inside, and then he can go out in, like, negative 5-degree weather and just want to play. It's very, very strange.
Monty's a cool dog. A lot of personality.
He has a lot of personality.
The first time I came over to your place, it was, a couple years ago when you just moved here. It was a snowstorm, like after a snowstorm, and you were running around chasing Monty.
That's right.
And your brother's dog, I think, was with you as well.
That's right,
and,
Rocky.
Rocky, and they were just having fun just running around the snow and running away from you. I was sitting there laughing watching you chase your dogs now.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out ways not to have to go outside. It is so awful out there.
You know, they have those indoor dog things that they can pee on, the little girl, like the grass things, the little floor mats.
Yeah, I know.
Have you seen those in the...
I have.
The mall, or the mail mall, or whatever it is?
Let's be clear. Monty would not be happy with that.
Like, who would buy that for their pet? I don't want my dog to pee outside.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Our intern, Alex, do you own one of those? She wants one for
her
dog.
She wants one of those, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think Monty would like it. So stay warm out there. Drive safely. And, yeah, it's a Chicago day kind of out there. Today we've got a great show for you. At 7:20, we're going to be joined by author Chris Hedges to talk about that article we posted on our website yesterday at am760.net, our must read of the day. That's going to be a new feature here on am760.net.
every day I'm going to post a single must-read article. And yesterday's was Chris Hedges, the progressive author, called Liberals Are Useless. That's right. Liberals are useless. He's going to come on at 7:20 to talk with us about his thesis there. Then at 8:25, we're going to be joined by Rolling Stone's Matt Taibbi. He's got a new piece in Rolling Stone. The headline, Obama's Big Sellout. The subhead, the president has packed his economic team with Wall Street insiders intent on turning the bailout into an all-out giveaway. And then at 9:05, MSNBC's newest star, Dylan Radigan, he's a veteran journalist, business journalist, came over to MSNBC from CNBC. He now hosts the morning meeting from 7 to 9 a.m. local time on MSNBC. They're actually expanding his time slot even more. And he has been very outspoken about the financial crisis, saying that Democrats and Republicans in Congress need to fire Ben Bernanke, and if you haven't already, please call Michael Bennett's office telling him to vote against Bernanke's confirmation. Bernanke is in the banking committee. Bennett is on the banking committee. And there is a move afoot to stop Bernanke's nomination in that committee. Bernanke, of course, the architect of all of these bailouts. And to me, to my mind, even more importantly, was one of the guys who fell down on the regulatory job in the lead-up to the crisis. So not only did he do a pretty haphazard job of trying to clean up the crisis, but he actually helped create the crisis. That's indisputable. In fact, Bernanke himself acknowledged that to Congress in his testimony, talking about the mistakes he made. I don't understand. If I make mistakes on the scale and scope that Ben Bernanke made, I have a feeling I'd get fired from every single job that I have. Most people would get fired from the jobs that they have. They made the kind of mistakes that Ben Bernanke admits to. And I don't really give him much credit for admitting it. You've got to set up an accountability situation here that says that if regulators fall down on the job, they will lose their job. I'm writing about that in my column coming out this Friday, so that will be posted on our website. Today's must-read on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. A piece from Salon.com's Glenn Greenwald called My Friend the President. I strongly encourage everybody, we've been having this discussion about when and whether it's okay to criticize President Obama, I strongly encourage everybody to go over to am760.net and read our must-read of the day from Glenn Greenwald. It's about answering that question. And he makes a very, very compelling argument that what we're hearing from more and more people on the activist left is the same kind of thing that we've been hearing from right-wingers during the Bush administration. Oh, we can't criticize the President Bush. Even the conservative movement that's supposedly against overspending, that's supposedly against bailouts, said very little against President Bush for his policies of his huge deficits that he passed in the same way. And progressives said, why aren't the conservatives speaking up? There's nothing conservative about overspending. There's nothing conservative about adventurous wars. And we all lambasted the conservative movement and conservatives for really refusing to be honest, refusing to criticize President Bush. And in many ways, we're doing the same thing. We are refusing to pressure and push President Obama on all of the campaign promises that he made. And Glenn Greenwald's piece, just really, you got to read it. Click over to am760.net on the David Sirota page, right at the top of the page. And a lot of news out there today. We're going to get into a discussion in this first hour on climate change. And it's such a huge issue, and it can be so in the weeds and so esoteric. I want to bring it down to a level that we can all engage in. And I want to bring it down to a level that asks the simple question about whether we, the United States, and other industrialized nations should have to pay to help developing world countries essentially retrofit their economies to bring down their own greenhouse gas emissions. This is a big, big debate now at the Copenhagen conference on climate change. And there's going to be, it's going to be boiled all the way down, it's my bet, all the way down to whether Americans and other industrialized countries should have to fork over extra cash to help mitigate the effects of climate change, to help retrofit the economies of the developing world to bring down their emissions and to mitigate the effects of climate change. I'm curious what you think. I think the Obama administration is taking the right posture here, and we have to figure out where the numbers exactly are, whether they're willing to put in enough numbers. But President Obama's spokesperson said last week that the president supported a short-term fund to aid developing nations and that the United States is willing to pay its fair share. In many multilateral efforts, the U.S. picks up a quarter to a third of the tab. Providing this assistance, the White House statement said, is not only a humanitarian imperative, it's an investment in our common security, as no climate change accord can succeed if it does not help all countries reduce their emissions. So I think the Obama administration taking the right posture at the start of it, the devil, of course, will be in the details. How much money are we talking about here? And we're only right now talking about $10 billion a year, a $10 billion fund, which on a global scale is next to nothing. But at least the Obama administration is willing to come out there and say, hey, we're going to have to kick in. Now, obviously, the argument from the developing world is, look, the industrialized nations of the world have created most of the climate change problem, have created most of the carbon emissions problem in terms of the share of that problem that you can attribute to human activity. And so countries like the Maldives, countries in Africa, countries Bangladesh, for instance, low-lying countries, low-lying developing countries, they're saying, hey, the countries that created the most emissions happen to be the richest countries in the world as well, and they need to kick in more. What do you think? 303-713-7600, the number 303-713-7600. Obviously, that would mean, ultimately, it could mean higher taxes for us. I mean, I don't think we're talking about enough money that it'll be a huge amount of higher taxes for us. But you've got to throw that in with the rest of the debate, which you've got conservatives saying that the cap and trade system is going to also cause potentially higher corporate taxes. So I'm wondering what you think. 303-713-7600. We'll get to your calls, your feelings about this. Are you feeling strapped? Say, hey, I don't want to give any more money to foreign countries. We need money here at home. Are you saying, hey, yeah, the president's right. President Obama's right. We need to do our job on the world stage, and that means contributing to a fund to help foreign countries deal with this global problem. 303-713-7600. After the break, Chris Hedges about his controversial new article, Liberals Are Useless. That's right. Liberals are useless, says Chris Hedges. We're going to hear him make his argument that liberals are useless. I'm not necessarily saying I agree with his entire conclusion, but it is a provocative argument. So stick around after a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, Dave, we're really starting to see things slow down out there around the metro now. We've got a major accident southbound side of I-25 at 84th Avenue. Seeing delays there. Back past 120th now. Single-digit speeds blocking the two left lanes there. Also a crash on the turnpike westbound side just after Church Ranch Road. Delays there to Sheridan. Two-car crash eastbound I-70 near 6th Avenue. Also have one on eastbound 70 at Quebec. Another crash southbound I-25 at Colfax. Your forecast today, mostly sunny but cold with a high around 16 degrees. Wind chills making it feel a lot colder around town. It's about minus 20 to minus 30 if you factor in the wind chill tonight, an overnight low of minus 2. Right now we're at minus 9 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hey there, cool jacket.
Oh, thanks. My wife got it for me at REI. Perfect gift for days like this.
No kidding. Crisp winter air, lots of fresh snow, the sun is shining. Does it get any better than this?
Let's think about that for a minute. Yeah, no. It doesn't. Is pretty much best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Guarantee your holiday happiness by giving great gifts from REI. Hurry into your local REI store or shop REI.com. REI. Find out.
With five times the selection, Jared is where to go for diamond jewelry this holiday.
That's Jared.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, has literally hundreds of diamond bracelets, earrings, necklaces, and rings to choose from. Diamond solitaire earrings are always a great choice. At Jared, their extensive selection is priced from under $80 to $5,300 and includes their certified colorless diamonds.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
A new study from Carfax shows that the number of salvaged cars for sale has more than doubled. You want to avoid buying these rebuilt wrecks. Make sure you see a free Carfax vehicle history report. Just say, show me the Carfax, or go to Carfax.com.
You can create and overcome any obstacles. I'm convinced. Are you? Call me now to apply for this trial. 303-904-0077 or sign up at my website, williamsumner.net. That's williamsumner.net. Call me now to apply for this trial. 303-904-0077 or sign up at my website, williamsumner.net.
Get ready to take down a number that will change the way you look at home loans forever. I call it My Bank, My Loan, My Way. It's a line of credit that pays off your existing loan and keeps your equity available to you when you need it. And it uses your normal household checking account to lower your average daily balance, and you pay a lot less interest, which shortens your loan without changing your spending habits. The best home loan ever. 866-259-8206. 866-259-8206.
I think the Conservatives have to do some soul searching today and realize that there are no Ronald Reagans around, that there are no high road or high climbers.
What is your problem with Mayor Giuliani?
I think he's a freaking idiot, and I think he's a hypocrite. You ask me a question, I'm going to give you a direct answer.
The Ed Schultz Show.
This is what it comes to when Republicans lose elections. Join me.
Mornings 10 to 1.
Let's get it on
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
720 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. -8 out there right now. Brutal. I don't know about you, my skin is so dry, it's like hurting. Everything, I don't know, like my hands are hurting. It's freezing out there. Are liberals useless? That's the assertion from Chris Hedges, the author, former New York Times writer. He's got a new article out on truthdig.com. It's up at our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Also, check out the must-read of the day. Hedges' piece was our must-read yesterday. Today's must-read from Glenn Greenwald about whether it's okay or disloyal to criticize President Obama as a progressive. I encourage everybody to read it. It's just a fantastic piece. And speaking of President Obama and the progressive movement, some new polling numbers in this week about where the president stands with voters. A new Quinnipiac poll finds President Obama's approval rating in general at 46%, his lowest yet, with 44% disapproving. In addition, voters disapprove 52% to 38% on the health care reform proposal under consideration in Congress. And they disapprove 56 to 38 of Obama's handling of the health care issue. Interestingly, over at 538, the poll cruncher, Nate Silver, he has a post up, the headline, "In polls, much opposition to the health care plan is from the left." Ipsos McClatchy put out a health care poll last week, and the top line results were nothing special. 34% favored the health care reform proposals presently being discussed versus 46% opposed, 20% undecided. The negative 12 net score is roughly in line with the average of other polls. However, that poll did something that no other pollster has done. They asked the people who opposed the bill why they opposed it. Because they are opposed to health care reform and thought the bill went too far, or because they support health care reform but thought the bill didn't go far enough. Here is the most interesting part of this poll. It turns out that a significant minority of about 25% of the people who oppose the plan, 12% of the overall sample, that 12-point gap on health care, did so from the progressive left. They think the plan doesn't go far enough. So this is a fascinating finding in the polling here, that the loss, the Democrats' loss on the health care issue, they are losing ground specifically among progressives who are saying this does not go far enough, the health care plan in particular. We have news about the health care plan last night. The Senate, according to a bunch of different news organizations, the Senate Democrats have a tentative agreement to tear out the public option from the bill that they are debating, that the conservative Dems have basically won. Now, the one concession that's being talked about still is to allow people who are not covered in the private market, to people who are 55 or older, to buy into Medicare. So that's a concession. Howard Dean is out there saying that's a good thing. Obviously, it's a good thing to allow people to buy into Medicare. I definitely support that. But you see Senate Democrats now moving to get rid of the public option at a time when much of Democratic erosion in the polls on health care is among progressives who say, you are not doing enough. So this is a part of the discussion, part of the debate that we haven't heard very much about. And I have a post. You can click over to am760.net, click over to the David Sirota page, and click on my blog. In the left-hand side, there's a link to my blog. I have a post up right now that just went up right now about demoralization in the Democratic base. And there are some really, really bad numbers when you go even deeper below just the health care issue. This is from a Research 2000 poll out this week. Among Republican respondents, 81% said they were definitely or probably going to vote versus only 14% who were definitely or not likely to do so in 2010. Among independent voters, 65 to 23 who said they're going to vote versus those who say they're not going to vote. Here's the key. Among Democrats, 56 to 40, two out of every five Democrats are currently saying they are unlikely to vote. A look at key Democratic constituencies shows how demoralized the party's base currently is. Among African Americans, just 34% are likely to vote versus 54% saying they are unlikely to do so in 2010. Republican-leaning white voters clocked in at 66 to 29. Only 41% of 18 to 29-year-olds, a key constituency for Democrats in both 2006 and 2008, the young vote, are likely to vote, compared to 49% who say they are likely to sit things out. So it seems to me that the Democrats have a serious, serious problem among their progressive base. A serious problem among their progressive base. And frankly, I think that's the consequence of not doing what they promised, or at least not yet. I think right now most Americans look at what's gone on in politics in the first year and they see lots of bailouts for Wall Street. They see a health care bill and a health care debate that seems to be going out of its way to make a health care reform bill a sop to the insurance industry. And I think you've got a very, very seriously demoralized Democratic base. And I don't feel bad about that. And I don't think folks out there who call themselves progressives necessarily should feel bad about that either. When politicians don't deliver, people get pissed off. And we have our must-read post over at am760.net from Glenn Greenwald, Salon's Glenn Greenwald, about those who say, hey, no matter what, we should never criticize the president. I want everybody who's debated with me the last couple of days about Afghanistan, about health care, to go read that piece. It's just a fascinating, fascinating piece. And I think it's going to raise a lot of questions for you if you say that, hey, anybody who criticizes the president, any progressive who criticizes the president is hurting the president and helping the Republicans. Just read that piece. All right, after the break, we're going to check in with Chris Hedges. His article, Liberals Are Useless. That was his article. He's the former New York Times writer, a progressive author of best-selling books. He's got a provocative new article up, Liberals Are Useless. Don't necessarily agree with all of his conclusions, but he's going to make the argument here and we'll see what you have to say about it after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, crews just cleaned up that crash southbound I-25 at 84th Avenue, but still really heavy trying to get from Northland and Thornton to downtown Denver. Also got a crash southbound side of 25 at Colfax. Two accidents on eastbound I-70. First one near Quebec out on the east end and to the west end in Golden. One at 6th Avenue. Two cars involved in that crash there. Also heavy getting to Boulder due to an accident on the turnpike west side, Church Ranch Road. Delays back to Sheridan. Also stop and go northbound 2 1/4 Parker Road up to Alameda. The forecast today, mostly sunny, but still really cold, making it feel like a minus 20 to minus 30 degrees below. Our high this afternoon will be in the mid-teens. Currently, we're minus 9 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Don't miss Kohl's cash in sale this Tuesday and Wednesday only from 7 a.m. till midnight. You'll get $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 you spend. It's like getting paid to shop. The more you know, the more you Kohl's. Kohl's, expect great things.
Finding something you can rely on is easier than you think. I'm Norm Miller, chairman of Interstate Batteries, and our batteries are just around the corner from you. Sold at over 200,000 retailers. Heck, we're in every county in the U.S. And that means it's easier than ever to own the Interstate Battery peace of mind. Because with one of ours, you'll hear this. Instead of this. Call 1-800-CRANK-IT or visit interstatebatteries.com to find the dealer nearest you. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
Heading out to buy a used car this weekend? You can find a great deal, but you have to do some homework. Before you buy, make sure the dealer shows you a free Carfax vehicle history report. Just say, "Show me the Carfax," or go to carfax.com.
For you.
I'll pay you to read this book. The truth is, this book is so essential to surviving in this insane economy, I'll give you an early $1,900 silver dollar free just for ordering this book. Hi, I'm Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metals investing firms. So why would Midas give you a free collectible silver dollar for ordering this book? Because you need to know the truth about surviving in this economy. With trillions of your tax dollars being handed out like bailout candy, you know this will impact your wallet today, tomorrow, and at retirement. This book explains it all. In fact, Congressman Ron Paul said this book is what every American needs to know. So while others are trying to survive this economic meltdown, learn how to flourish. Order your book right now, and Midas Resources will send you an early 1900s collectible silver dollar free. Call 888-600-MIDAS. 888-600-MIDAS. That's 888-600-MIDAS. Again, that's 888-600-MIDAS.
License 707-193.
Hey, are you one of these guys that can't refinance your mortgage because a bunch of knuckleheads in your neighborhood bought houses they just couldn't afford, got foreclosed on, tanked your whole neighborhood's value, and now you can't take advantage of historically low rates because these boneheads killed your value? Well, here's the good news. There's some new government agency programs out there, and they're going to allow you to refinance your mortgage even if you owe slightly more than the house is worth. You can actually owe more money than the house is worth and refinance with some of the lowest rates in history. Listen, this is like charity, but you got to get moving. This thing's a race. As foreclosures sell, values are going to drop more. When the economy turns around, rates are going to go up more. Listen, if you've waited until now, this is your second chance to capitalize on some of the lowest rates in a generation. Even if you owe more than the house is worth, we can save you a fortune with this deal. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of Earth. Call Lennox Financial, 720-889-9400. That's Lennox Financial, 720-889-9400.
Which GPS gives you the easiest way to get to any address? Only TomTom. With just a few taps of the screen, TomTom quickly finds the most efficient route and guides you there with clear, spoken directions. TomTom, go confidently.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE certified blue automotive crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes.
Yes.
Tires.
Yep.
Struts.
Of course.
Oil changes.
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod.
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Come into the Sears Automotive Center for our real-time price checks and get the best price guaranteed. And now through December 12th, all Michelin tires are on sale. Plus, get a $130 diehard emergency kit free with a purchase of 4 Michelin tires. Visit SearsAuto.com to learn more. Sears. Life well spent.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's negative 8 out there, so stay warm. On the line with us now, author, former New York Times writer Chris Hedges. His new book Empire of Illusion, The End of Literacy and the Triumph of Spectacle. Chris Hedges spent two decades as a foreign reporter covering wars in Latin America, Africa, Europe, and the Middle East. He served for 8 years as the Middle East Bureau Chief of the New York Times, where he shared the 2002 Pulitzer Prize for Explanatory Journalism for coverage of terrorism. He is an award-winning author and writer, and his new article is entitled Liberals Are Useless. That's right, Liberals Are Useless. We posted it on our website at am760.net. A link to that is right on our website. Chris Hedges, lay out your argument for us, because we got a lot of liberals who are listening right now, and I'm sure curious to hear exactly why you think they are useless.
Because they've thrown their lot in with a Democratic Party that, since 1994, has betrayed the working class of this country. 94 being, of course, the implementation of NAFTA, followed by the 1996 so-called Welfare Reform Act, followed by, this is all the Clinton administration, deregulation, destruction of the 1933 Glass-Steagall Act that had firewalls between commercial and investment banks to prevent commercial banks from becoming hedge funds. That was ripped down in the 1999 Financial Services Modernization Act, courtesy of Larry Summers, then Treasury Secretary. They have not challenged our permanent war economy, which is hollowing the country out from the inside. We have now seen with the Obama administration not only a continuation of these imperial wars, $1 trillion this year in defense-related spending, but a refusal to revoke Bush's secrecy laws, restore habeas corpus, end warrantless wiretapping and eavesdropping of American civilians. At what point does the liberal class in this country say enough? At what point do we have a moral imperative to stand up for what we believe in?
How do you define a liberal? I mean, you've listed, and I agree with everything that you've said. You've listed a bill of particulars against the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party behaving in many ways just like the corporate Republican Party. And I wonder though how you define liberals, because I bet some people are listening and saying, yeah, hey, I'm a liberal and I don't agree with any of that. And you know, I still got steamrolled. My voice wasn't listened to during the Clinton administration, and now it's not being listened to in the Obama administration. So I guess I wonder, because you have this story in this piece about how you learned to dislike liberals when you lived in Boston. So how do you define a liberal, at least in terms of this article you've written?
Well, somebody who purports to believe in egalitarianism, in the common good, somebody who does not believe in creating, as we have created over the last couple decades, an American oligarchy, who believes in the sustenance of both a working class and a middle class. Those are very broad terms, but I think that is a standard kind of, you know, and there are variations, of course, within belief systems, but I think liberals believe that that the resources of a wealthy society should be directed towards those people who have been less fortunate, whether that's the sick, the poor, the mentally ill. I mean, we live in a country, of course, where we throw our mentally ill out on heating grates. So I think that all of those qualities, which really boils down to a kind of simple understanding of the common good, are ones that the Democratic Party have abandoned for corporate money. And Clinton did this quite consciously.
Mm-hmm.
He understood that if he did the bidding of corporate interests, he could get corporate money at the expense of labor and the working class, so that by the 90s, the Democratic Party had fundraising parity with the Republicans. And now, of course, they get more. But this has created a corporate state. And we see it with the bailout. I mean, the first bailout package, $700 billion, was opposed 100-1 across the political spectrum. Some of the most impassioned speeches against the bailout were delivered by right-wing Republicans from Texas. And yet it passed anyway. Why? Because, of course, corporate interests wanted it passed. Universal health care is a prime example. Any factual discussion of our health care system would begin by acknowledging that the for-profit health care industry is the problem and has to be destroyed. This is an industry that profits quite literally off of death. 40,000 Americans died last year because they couldn't get proper care. It is an industry that has the legal right to hold sick children hostage while their parents bankrupt themselves to save their sons or daughters. That discussion won't happen because, of course, the corporate interests, the healthcare lobbyists, drive the debate and have the money. And in essence, we're going to be forced through this so-called healthcare reform to buy their defective product. They can still jack up premiums, co-payments, especially on the elderly and the sick, still toss out those people who are terminally ill or have catastrophic illnesses. I think that the great political philosopher Sheldon Wolin, taught at Princeton and Berkeley, describes our system now as one of inverted totalitarianism. And by that, he means a system not classically totalitarian and built around a demagogue or a charismatic leader, but one that finds its expression in the anonymity of the corporate state. That in classical totalitarianism, politics always trumps economics. But in inverted totalitarianism, you don't have a radical system that is purporting to wash away an old decayed system, but one where we pay fealty to the Constitution, to electoral politics, while we've so corrupted the levers of power. And economics has become ascendant, so that within inverted totalitarianism we have different forms of ruthlessness. And I think that's a pretty fair portrait of where we are. And both the Democrats and the Republicans are culpable.
And again, on the line with us is Chris Hedges. His new book, Empire of Illusion, The End of Literacy and the Triumph of Spectacle. His new article at Truth Dig, Liberals Are Useless. You can find it. We linked it to it on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Again, it's Liberals Are Useless. Now, you've laid out exactly where we are. And you, in this article, you lay the blame on, in particular, on liberals. What, in your mind, in a, if things were to get better, what do you want liberals to do? What should they do? Because every time, you know, we come to an election, we're coming into a midterm election, right? And you're going to hear this argument. Hey, liberals, you know, it's going to be, hey, if you don't vote for the Democrats for Congress, if you don't vote for your Democrat for senator, and ultimately in 2012, you don't vote to reelect President Obama, you're going to get something even worse. You're going to get a Republican president and a Republican Congress. So what do you want liberals to do? What should they do?
Well, the great political philosopher Karl Popper said that in a democracy, the question is not how do you get good people to rule. Most people attracted to power are mediocre at best and usually venal. The question is how do you stop the powerful from doing as much damage as possible? And that comes through movements. And that's what the left forgot. The correctives to American democracy came through the Liberty Party, which fought slavery, the suffragists for women's rights, the labor movement, the civil rights movement. It's not our job to take power, not for those of us who care about the common good. It's our job to build movements to make the powerful frightened of us. And by throwing our weight behind the Democratic Party, even as that party betrayed us, we became quite correctly a sort of subject of public derision. And we forgot power, politics is a game of power, a game of pressure. And we have to recreate that pressure by stepping outside of the mainstream. I didn't vote for Obama. I voted for Nader. If 5-10 million people had voted for McKinney or Nader, we'd at least have a platform on which to stand and fight back. And my fear is that, you know, the bailout money is going to run out in another year. The idea behind this pumping this huge liquidity into the market was that corporations within a year would recover and continue to or take the place of the government stimulus and put liquidity back into the market, and that's not happening. They're taking our money and doing what good capitalists do, which is keeping it or using it to, you know, merge and buy investments or pay bonuses or and so I fear that with this huge commitment over $12 trillion in loans, guarantees, we will have a situation where we've only forestalled catastrophe, but we won't have the resources to respond to it. And at that point, a bankrupt liberal class, which has stood behind these policies, the largest transference of wealth upwards in American history, will have, in essence, destroyed all of its credibility and empowered a very virulent and angry right wing.
Now, in your article, and again on the line with us, Chris Hedges, his new book, Empire of Illusion, The End of Literacy and the Triumph of Spectacle. He's a former New York Times foreign correspondent, now a progressive author. And in this article, Liberals Are Useless, which has made a lot of waves, you seem to question whether a lot of liberals are actually liberals. And I'm going to read this paragraph here. You said, I learned to dislike liberals when I lived in Roxbury, the inner city in Boston. I commuted into Cambridge to hear professors and students talk about empowering people they never met. It was the time of the leftist Sandinista government in Nicaragua, spending 2 weeks picking coffee in that country and then coming back and talking about it for the rest of the semester was the best way to credentialize yourself as a revolutionary. But few of these revolutionaries found the time to spend 20 minutes on the Green Line to see where human beings in their own city were being warehoused little better than animals. They liked the poor, but they did not like the smell of the poor. It was a lesson I never forgot. By the way, that line, just as a fellow writer, that line is a fantastic, fantastic line. But you seem to be questioning whether whether many people who see themselves as liberal, who call themselves liberal, are actually liberal. Do you think that is one of the problems here, that actually the liberals in America aren't as big a piece of America as it seems to be or as they are portrayed as in the media?
Yes, and that's not a new observation. Malcolm X made that observation. He said he'd much rather deal with some redneck, conservative, right-wing cracker than he would a white liberal, because he said at least the white conservative is not a hypocrite. And all right-wing or even totalitarian movements are built on the back of a bankrupt liberal intelligentsia. In the same article, I quote from Dostoevsky's Notes from Underground, because that's what the book is about. It's about a defeated dreamer who uses cynicism as a kind of cloak for cowardice. And I think that we are very similar. Our liberal class is very similar to the sort of depraved character in Notes from Underground, where it's embraced this kind of conscious inertia, where we espouse all sorts of virtues and noble causes, and yet absolutely refuse to step outside of our comfort zone to espouse them. And that becomes not only hypocritical, but very empty moral posturing, and utterly ineffectual for engaging change. I mean, look at our leading liberal voices within the society. It seems that the only thing that they do well is write these cloying letters to a Barack Obama, begging Barack to be Barack. It's a form of self-flagellation and also a form of sort of hubris. The idea that anyone in the White House is reading these letters or responding to them is a very naive grasp of a misguided grasp of how power works. The liberals are no threat. The liberals are hollow men, to quote Eliot. And if we don't get a little spine, especially as things deteriorate, we're going to end up with some very frightening political candidates who will promote, in essence, a kind of proto-fascism.
Again, on the line with us, Chris Hedges, his book, Empire of Illusion, The End of Literacy and the Triumph of Spectacle, his new article, Liberals Are Useless. We've linked to it at am760.net. My final question for you, Chris Hedges, is that, do you see any light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, I have talked to some people who have said, look, they agree with every argument that you and others have made along this same line, but that maybe, that the silver lining of unbridled bailouts, the silver lining of President Obama wavering, for instance, even on a weak public option, and not fulfilling campaign promises on things like NAFTA, for instance, maybe that will be the wake-up call. Do you have any hope that that is possible at this moment?
Yes. I when I got up and said that I was voting for Nader in the lead-up to the election, people would hiss and boo and walk out. And when I criticize Obama, as I do as a brand, as and I spoke last night at the New School in New York, people are beginning to hear it. I think that the betrayals have been so egregious on the part of the Obama administration that you're right, that there is a segment of the population that is waking up to the fact that they have been royally used by the Democratic Party and have been used, of course, for many years. Now, whether that will translate into action, I don't know, but I think it is a sign of hope.
Chris Hedges, again, his new book, Empire of Illusion, The End of Literacy and the Triumph of Spectacle, his new article that we have linked at am760.net, Liberals Are Useless. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning, and keep up the good work. Keep speaking out. It's really, really important.
Thanks for having me.
All right. 749 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. You just heard that argument from Chris Hedges, the esteemed former New York Times writer, the award-winning author. A powerful, powerful argument. Are liberals useless? I want to hear what you have to say. You heard his argument. His article is up at our website. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. Chris Hedges saying we have been royally duped. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Interested to hear what you have to say. I'm guessing. I'm looking at our instant messages. And if you want to send it an instant message, go to am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Send us an instant message. We've got a flood of them here. People are pretty ticked off. So we'll hear from you after a traffic update from John Turk.
Dave, a few crashes out there. We'll go through them. New one, northbound 2 1/4 as you approach Mississippi. 3 cars involved there. The backups to Parker Road. Still working this crash on the turnpike westbound side just after Church Ranch Road. Also, a 2-car crash eastbound I-70 near 6th Avenue in Golden. And in the cleanup phase, one on southbound I-25 at Colfax. On the surface streets, crashes Colorado and Florida, 27th Colorado and Mississippi and La Pan. Your forecast today, mostly sunny but still cold, a high around 16 degrees. Wind chills making it feel a lot colder. Tonight, an overnight low of -2. Right now, -9 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Low-fare holiday flights out of Denver are available now during the United Home for the Holidays Fair Sale. Visit united.com/densale today.
Get the good stuff!
This year, Napa has great holiday deals on gifts any handyman will truly appreciate. Choose from a durable 9-piece combination wrench set or a 42-piece SAE and metric socket set for just $9.55 each. The 42-piece socket set includes 1/4-inch and 3/8-inch drives to help tackle any job. Stop by your local Napa Auto Parts store today and check out these great holiday deals.
Napa. Get the good stuff!
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. This week, get a $30 Brothers Barbecue certificate for only $15. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town, brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
Surround her with the strength of your love with the Love's Embrace collection, now at Jared.
That's Jared!
Jared is proud to present the new Love's Embrace collection. Diamonds in a design created to capture the comfort found in each other's arms. This holiday, there is surely no more romantic gift. Available as necklaces, rings, or earrings, starting at just $79.99. At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
Do you know what happens to flood-damaged cars? They're dried out, cleaned up, and resold. You should avoid these waterlogged wrecks. Make sure you see a free Carfax vehicle history report. Just say, show me the Carfax, or go to Carfax.com.
7% obviously don't believe that. If you were going or investing on your gut, you would have just missed a 60% increase in your portfolio because the S&P has gone up 60% from March through now. Well, I don't think it's a good idea to invest simply based on your emotions because that would mean 67% of the population missed this move. You've got to invest based on fact, based on intelligence, based on statistics, and that's what we use here at Presidential Brokers. They can be, I think, of tremendous benefit to investors. So if you're having confusion about how and where to invest, join a lot of the other people Your listeners, David, who have come by to see what we're doing, don't be the last one in the door. Come and see us and learn what others have learned that listen to David. How do you invest and how do I do it intelligently, not based on my gut, because it just ain't working.
Yeah, well, if this time in American history has taught us anything, it is that irrational exuberance and investing without facts is absolutely the wrong way to go. Give the team at Presidential Brokerage a call, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. It's getting to be the end of the year. You need a strategy, especially now. And so give them a call, 303-694-1600. Stay warm out there, Mike, okay?
All right, David. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right.
Hounded by debt collectors with phone calls and letters? Thinking of calling a debt relief company? Don't. Greedy lawyers and debt companies charge thousands. Why pay when you can get their solution absolutely free with New York Times best-selling author Herb Kay's number one debt secret, the how-to on stopping the calls without paying the debt companies. Yes, free for a very limited time. Here's Herb Kay.
Don't get ripped off by credit repair companies when I can give you the information you need to do it yourself for free.
Herb Kay was right. His free information helped me stop the calls and settle my debt.
What have you got to lose? Stop the calls now, get out of debt, and have more money. Get Herb Kay's number one debt secret absolutely free now. Call 888-352-7680. That's 888-352-7680. 888-352-7680.
Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
You just heard Chris Hedges argue that liberals are useless, saying that liberals who back President Obama and this Democratic Party after betrayals on things like NAFTA, Senate Democrats, for instance, just yesterday night announced that they are dropping the public option. That liberals who continue to apologize for and back President Obama are proving how useless liberals are. His article, Liberals Are Useless, he's an award-winning, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, and this article is scathing. You just heard his argument. What do you think about it? He basically said, look, if you're not willing to vote against the Democratic Party after they betray you and betray you and betray you, then you're not seriously understanding how American democracy works. It is a very, very provocative argument, and it comes in light of new polls out yesterday and a little bit earlier this week showing that the Democratic base is extremely angry with the Democratic Party. So what do you think? Is this apostasy, or is Chris Hedges right? Are liberals useless? 303-713-7600. We'll go to Victor in Lakewood. Victor, you're on AM760.
Hey, good morning, David.
Morning.
Well, I certainly agree, and it really pains me with these soundbite commercials during the election cycle, and especially this last one where it makes it appear like John McCain is so close to winning. You have to vote Democrat because otherwise John McCain might win. Forget about that. Vote your heart, vote your conscience, and this time vote for a Green Party or a third party, because there are so many people that don't vote. So get out the vote and vote with your heart. That's what I think. And as far as our economy, on September 10th, 2001, Donald Rumsfeld got on his hind legs and announced that the Pentagon had misplaced $2.3 trillion. That's a lot of change.
Yeah, well, and I wrote about that in my last column, and it's an important point. It's a point that we haven't been talking that hasn't gotten enough attention. And frankly, it's a point that the Democratic Party, in terms of dealing with defense spending, President Obama on the way to spend more money on defense than any president in a single term since World War II. You're absolutely right. That's exactly the kind of issue that hasn't been addressed by the Democratic Party. My only thing I would say to you about, you know, automatically voting green or voting for a third party is this. I still think that there are ways to shape the Democratic Party And I still think there are ways to move the Democratic Party. I think, for instance, contested Democratic primaries are a good thing. I'm not willing to paint with as broad a brush and say that every Democrat is terrible. I know good Democrats in this state. I know good Democrats throughout the country. And I think that there are ways to both push the Democratic Party from outside and inside. And the question is whether people believe that's being disloyal. I certainly don't think it is, but I'm curious about what everyone else thinks. 303-713-7600. We'll get back to the discussion about whether liberals are useless after the national news.
AM 760 and CBS News bring you audio on demand on AM760.net.
60 Minutes.
CBS News.
Face the nation.
Stay informed with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk, and AM760.net.
The following statements are documented responses from Ovation Cell Therapy clients in an online customer survey.
Your product is the greatest I have ever used. I'm so glad I tried it. My hair was incredibly thin and dull before Ovation. Now it's like a new head of hair. Thicker, shinier, and even the color has improved. People keep asking me if I dyed my hair. Thanks for a great product.
I was skeptical about the success stories from Ovation customers, but I'm not anymore. Not only did my hair grow faster, the Ovation system made my hair softer, and I experience less breakage.
These survey responses are from people just like you, sharing their Ovation experiences of thicker, fuller, stronger, and longer hair. Improve the health of your hair with Ovation Cell Therapy. Log on to ovationhair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special introductory discount. That's ovationhair.com. And remember to enter AM760 for your special discount. Ovationhair.com.
Ovation is so good, it's guaranteed.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. The Golden Arches or the school cafeteria? Some experts say a child would be better off eating at a fast food restaurant. A USA Today analysis shows that beef and chicken served by McDonald's, Burger King, and other chains is checked for dangerous bacteria much more carefully than the meat the government buys for school lunch programs. Doug Powell at Kansas State University says the chains won't tolerate bad meat.
They demand continuous improvement in terms of microbial levels in the food. They want to see continuous improvement, or they cut those suppliers off.
Chris Waldrop with the Consumer Federation of America says Uncle Sam should be just as tough.
Government has an obligation to ensure that whatever products that they are eating in the school lunch programs are as safe as possible.
The nation's midsection is humming to the tune of snowblowers and road plows. A powerful storm system is creating blizzard conditions in a dozen states from the plains through the upper Midwest, and the leading edge has moved into the Northeast. Des Moines is buried under wind-blown snowdrifts.
A lot of people are not going to get out to work, I'm sure, for the next 24 to 48 hours.
In fact, public officials are warning people to stay home and stay off icy, slick, or snowbound roads. Airline travelers can expect long delays. Pat Hogan is a spokesman for the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport.
The FAA is starting out slow in terms of the number of arrivals that it's accepting here per hour because of the fact that it's the visibility is still pretty poor and the winds are very strong.
In Washington, Democratic leader Harry Reid says the public option has not been dropped from the Senate health care reform bill, just modified. But as CBS's Nancy Cordes tells us, a compromise proposal barely resembles what it would replace.
The contentious public option appears to be on its last legs, at least in the Senate, where Democrats simply don't have the votes. They're working on a pair of alternatives, one to expand Medicare to Americans who are 55 to 64. They could buy into the program that seniors already get. Another would be to create a national insurance plan that the government would administer, but that would involve private insurers.
The White House wants to spend $600 million to repair, rebuild, or replace community health centers that serve millions of people who have no health insurance. Officials say the effort is part of health care reform and the push to put Americans back to work. Americans seem to be getting tired of staycations. TripAdvisor travel expert Brooke Forensic says more of us hope to get out in the new year.
92% are actually planning to take leisure trips in 2010 compared to 89% last year. 66% said the economy will not affect their travel plans for the coming year.
A new report from the World Health Organization says smoking kills 5 million people a year. It blames exposure to secondhand smoke for more than 500,000 deaths. In early Wall Street trading, the Dow Industrials are down 2.5 points. This is CBS News.
Gentlemen, where are those financial reports?
Accounting will have them any minute, Mr. Fernwell.
Excellent.
Any minute this year.
Those folks in accounting are overloaded, Nerlman. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Bob from Accountemps?
We can't afford a full-time hire, so we'll bring in temporary support from Accountemps now while we're busy, then scale back when we're not so busy.
Whoa! You're a genius, sir.
Give it up, Nerlman.
Giving it up, sir.
Manage your workload more efficiently with Accountemps. Work productively, operate profitably. Learn more at Accountemps.com.
Food for thought from Farmers. No one wants to think about all the things that can go wrong. But at Farmers Insurance, that's what we've been doing for the last 80 years. So today, our disaster response team watches weather patterns and developing storms so we can be first on the scene to lend a hand, a strong back, or even just a shoulder. To find an agent near you, visit Farmers.com today for auto, home, small business, and life insurance. And be ready for tomorrow.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Temperatures are still below zero around town, and that's causing some problems at DIA. A heating coil on the B concourse ruptured earlier this morning, forcing flights at two gates to be rerouted. It should come as little surprise that paramedics at Denver Health Medical Center are seeing plenty of cases of frostbite. Lieutenant Dave Crowell says it doesn't take long.
You can sustain an injury in very cold weather like we're having in as little as 15 minutes for exposed skin.
Crowell says people often get hurt because they just don't realize they've been outside for too long and haven't been dressed appropriately. About 140 Frontier Airlines jobs will be moved to Indianapolis by the first half of 2010. Indianapolis-based Republic Airways Holdings acquired Frontier in October and says it's adding 300 jobs to its home city. That includes the 140 jobs from Denver. The airline says the people currently holding those jobs will be given the opportunity to keep them by relocating. In sports, the Nuggets dropped one to the Charlotte Bobcats last night, 107-95. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where the Denver drives start to get busy in the middle of this morning's commute. We've got a three-car crash northbound, 225 on that approach to Mississippi. Accident for Boulder-bound drivers on 36. This is west of Church Ranch. Now, that one's been a while, but as you are driving west, you're going to find some delays still there. Center lane stall southbound I-25 at 38th. It's already slow there, but that's just going to add to your problems. Three-car accident. This is westbound C-470 at 285. This is on the left side of the highway. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be cold but sunny with a high of about 22 degrees. Currently, we're still below zero at negative 6. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Denver Health has a variety of job openings for registered nurses and healthcare providers. For more information, visit denverhealth.org. That's denverhealth.org. Denver Health, level one care for all. Denver Health is an equal opportunity employer.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
Always, you're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
806 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Coming up at around 8:25, Matt Taibbi of Rolling Stone magazine. He's got a huge article in Rolling Stone called Obama's Big Sellout. We're going to get to that, see what he's talking about. Chris Hedges, the former New York Times Pulitzer Prize winner, has a new article out called Liberals Are Useless. We've posted it on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Liberals are a useless lot, says Chris Hedges, and we just talked to him, of course, a couple minutes ago. They talk about peace and do nothing to challenge our war economy. They claim to support the working class and vote for candidates that glibly defend the North American Free Trade Agreement. They insist they believe in welfare, the right to organize, universal health care, and a host of other socially progressive causes, and will not risk stepping out of the mainstream to fight for them, says Chris Hedges. The only talent they seem to possess is the ability to write abject, cloying letters and campaign checks to Barack Obama as if he reads them, asking the president to come back to his true self. This sterile moral posturing, which is not only useless but humiliating, has made America's liberal class an object of public derision. Do you agree with Pulitzer Prize winner Chris Hedges? And Chris Hedges is a is a progressive, is a liberal himself. He goes on to say that he is. All of his books are. So he is not criticizing liberals as a Rush Limbaugh, but a very provocative argument from him. And new polls just out this week suggest that many, many Democratic voters are getting very, very upset. I have a post up on my blog. Click over to am760.net. When you go over to the David Sirota page, click on Sirota's blog. You'll find my blog post up about the latest poll numbers. They are pretty demoralizing, or they show, really, a demoralized Democratic base right now. I'll just read you a couple of statistics here. Among Republican respondents, 81% say they're going to definitely vote in 2010. Among Democratic voters, just 56% say they are going to vote in 2010. African Americans, just 34% say they are likely to vote in 2010. This is a demoralized Democratic base, and you can see it on healthcare. Over at 538.com, Nate Silver, the poll cruncher who you see on MSNBC all the time, he digs deeper into some poll numbers and finds that the biggest chunk of erosion in the public on the issue of healthcare, on the issue and the question of whether you support healthcare bills moving through Congress, the biggest chunk of erosion is among Democrats and self-described liberals who say the healthcare bill doesn't go too far. News off the wire this morning says that the Senate, as just one example, the Senate last night, Senate Democrats have agreed to drop the public option. So the question for you is, do you think Chris Hedges is right? Are liberals useless? Have we been duped? And what are you willing to do about it if you say that you are? I asked Chris Hedges this. I said, what do you want liberals to do? Every year, every election, you get a situation where if you don't vote for the Democrat in the general election, you're likely to ensure an even worse alternative in the Republicans. So what should we do? 303-713-7600. Are liberals useless? Or do you see this as apostasy? Do you see criticizing President Obama as being disloyal? Do you think that we all have to fall in line? 303-713-7600. We'll go back to the phones. We'll go to Denny in Boulder. Denny, you're on AM760.
Hey, David.
Hey there.
Keep having, in spite of negative emails, keep having Chris Hedges on as often as you can, and Matt Taibbi, and I'd love to hear you do some interviews with Bernie, what's his name, from New Hampshire, the independent.
Bernie Sanders, my old boss. We're going to have him on tomorrow, actually. He is my old boss, the senator from Vermont, who is threatening to hold up Ben Bernanke's renomination to the Federal Reserve Board. So he's going to be on tomorrow.
It's about time. I agree with 101% of what Hedges said. I've been a lifelong Democrat. I'm 68 years old. A couple of months ago, I went to Boulder and changed my registration from Democrat to Independent. And my plan is to hopefully Romanoff will, you know, appear to be the real deal and actually be the real deal. And hopefully we can have a spirited, you know, primary. It seems to me that Bennett and Udall and most of the congressional Dems have sold out. Jared Polis was the only one basically to, you know, say the Afghanistan decision is poor. The Dems are bought and sold by the same big money. They're getting their share of the big money from the healthcare lobbyists, and, you know, they're not. At least Republicans have an agenda, have some issues, and they're willing to stick and fight to the death.
Well, I mean, but what are you going to do, and what do you think Democrats should do? And I agree with you that contested Democratic primaries are one of the ways to deal with this situation, that when we don't have primaries against Democratic incumbents, progressives basically give up. They simply give up the territory to have some of these fights. And so I think that no matter who you support, Michael Bennett or Andrew Romanoff in that upcoming Colorado Senate Democratic primary, it's a good thing that there is a contested Democratic primary. But I'll throw it back to you. What are you going to do when in a general election it's a mediocre to poor Democrat in, let's say, a congressional race versus an extreme right-wing Republican. I mean, there's the case that is always made is that if you either don't vote or vote third party, you are effectively helping the Republican.
Well, I'm tired of not having a vote that count. Udall versus Schaefer, I vowed that I would not vote, for Udall. And then it came down to that, Schaefer is so terrible. I thought, well, maybe there's a little bit of redemption and, maybe there's a little integrity in Udall. So I voted for him. I've seen very little. I'm an extremely frustrated progressive that, I'd like to see us have a third party and stick together and give a message. My thinking is, if Democrats get swept out and there's more Republicans or more, blue dog Democrats, Obama might wake up to the fact that maybe it's better to have principle and, fight for what you want.
Well, you'd hope so, and I think that's definitely the potential in the upcoming election. You're absolutely right. Hey, Denny, thanks for the call. Let's go to is this Richie? Richie, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David.
Hey there.
This is Robert.
Oh, hey, Robert.
I think Chris Hedges is useless. I mean, first of all, number one, I'm really, really low set journalist who latch on borrowed rhetoric based on some biased reasoning. I mean, granted, he said he was a Nader supporter. If you're a journalist, you should be somewhat unbiased when you're spreading your rhetoric. Number two, it really irritates me when journalists latch on to what you call the fallacy dichotomy of extremes, meaning there's no gray, just black and white. I mean, the article should have been entitled "Liberals and Conservatives Are Useless." I think he was rather disingenuous when he said, we're continuing the policies of, Republicans. Therefore, that puts a little flaw in his argument that both parties are useless. I mean, granted, he is, he's even stated, he voted for Nader. So, basically saying that, liberals are useless is rather, basically disingenuous. I mean, I can't stand when journalists talk about living in the bilateral, symmetrical world myth, meaning going back to what I said before, there's just black and white. You're as progressive, you don't carry water for everyone. But you do have your principles. So, I mean, again.
Yeah, I think he painted with too broad a brush in saying that it's all liberals. I mean, I think that's part of the problem, that there is a distinction between liberals, and I make a distinction between liberals and progressives and big D Democrats. I mean, I consider myself a progressive, and I don't consider necessarily myself a Democrat. I will vote for Democrats. I tend to vote for Democrats, but I consider myself a progressive. And I think you're right. I think he painted with a little too broad a brush by saying it's all liberals. But I also think that he would concede your point that Republican and conservative voters are bankrupt as well. I mean, I don't think he would make an argument to the contrary on that.
Which goes to the point. To my point is that liberals and conservatives are useless. If he did say that, then that title is rather disingenuous to his implied rhetoric.
Yeah, I think that's a fair. I think you have a fair point. I mean, that's a fair point. All I'm saying is, and I'm not arguing with you. All I'm saying is, Chris Hedges, when you read the body of his work, he concedes that point. And I think what he's basically saying right now, and this is important, is that yeah, conservatives and Republicans are bankrupt as well, and they got their own problems as well. But right now, the Democratic Party has 60 votes in the Senate. It's got the whole House. It's in our state. It's got the legislature. It's got the governorship. It's got 4 out of 5 constitutional officers. And he's saying the game is in our court now, liberals and progressives. And if you sit back and simply say, hey, the Democrats are great, no matter how many times they sell us out, we are missing an opportunity. And we are being duped, and we are being sold out. And if we say nothing, if we sit here and say nothing, we are complicit. Hey, thanks for the call. 817 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we are going to check in with Rolling Stone's Matt Taibbi on his big new magazine article on the cover here of Rolling Stone, Obama's Wall Street Sellout. He's going to give us the lowdown on what he found in his reporting, and then we'll get back to your calls after a traffic update with John Terek.
Dave, we've got a center lane stall southbound I-25 at 38th Ave. That's a bad place to get a stall. Delays back past 58th Avenue. Also heavy up in Northland and Thornton from 104th down to 84th. Actually, 120th is where those delays start. And northbounders hitting the brakes there as you make the curve after DU as you approach Emerson Street. Going to be slow going up past 6th Avenue. Crash northbound 225 approaching Mississippi. Three cars in that one. Also crash westbound C-470 with three cars blocking the left lane at 285. Rollover accident westbound I-70 at 6th Avenue. Also got a crash eastbound side of C-470 at 285. So looks like there's one in the opposing lanes as well. Surface Street. Colorado and Florida, Colorado and 27th, and eastbound Hamden, just east of I-25. Forecast, still cold, wind chills making it feel like minus 20 to minus 30 degrees below our high this afternoon in the mid-teens, currently minus 6 degrees. It's warming up for us, Dave. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Want to add value to your home, lower your energy bills, and help preserve the environment? Best Way Insulation is a Colorado-owned company that can make sure your home is warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer. Purchasing insulation from Best Way can also qualify you for a federal tax credit and rebates from your energy company. For more information, go to bestwayinsulation.com or visit am760.net and enter the keyword insulation. Again, that's bestwayinsulation.com or am760.net, keyword insulation.
Kevin Richards just sent his identity out shopping.
Hello? Hey, Kev. It's me, your identity.
Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. The retailer is sending the stuff.
Good. What? Did you talk to strangers?
No. But I met a nice group of guys from Russia.
Oh, you didn't tell them anything, did you?
No. Yes, I did.
What?
Everything.
Oh, I'm gonna...
Wondering where your identity goes? Get Identity Guard Total Protection. Total Protection scans activity regarding your identity, keeping you in the know 24/7. And if anything happens, Identity Guard's $1 million of loss reimbursement insurance and professional response team will help make things right. It's protection no matter where your identity goes. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again.
Wait a second, Kev. Was that Yuri? Yuri would like to come visit.
No Yuri!
Visit IdentityGuard.com today. That's IdentityGuard.com.
9. If you're having trouble paying your mortgage, call U.S. Loan Hotline today at 888-582-0099. You don't need equity or good credit. Call now, 888-582-0099. Not available in all states.
Here on AM760 Progressive Talk. It's about negative 5 out there right now, so stay warm. I'm in the studio and my hands are freezing. I can't seem to get warm anywhere at all right now. Inside my own house, in my basement, in the studio here, it is freaking freezing out there. And we have just been discussing Chris Hedges' new piece, Liberals Are Useless. He is the former New York Times Pulitzer Prize winner. We've been discussing whether, in fact, liberals are useless. And now we're going to turn to my good friend fellow writer, Matt Taibbi. His new article in Rolling Stone magazine, Obama's Big Sellout. It's a big piece. It's all about the Wall Street bailout, all about economic policy. And it's making a lot of waves throughout the country right now. Matt, tell us the thesis of your article, what you found, what you looked at, and why people, when they look at the Obama administration, why they should be worried about this.
Well, starting about 2 or 3 months ago, I was starting to get phone calls from people who were involved with the Democratic Party and with Obama's campaign, who were complaining about the fact that as soon as Obama got elected, he kind of packed off all the progressives in his team, or what few there were, and brought in a team of guys from Wall Street to run his economic policy. And a lot of those people had connections to Bob Rubin, Clinton's former Treasury Secretary, and who went on, of course, to work for Citigroup.
And so I started to look at all the connections and the appointments, and what I found was, you know, it was true that basically as soon as he got elected, he brought in a crew of people who were kind of the last people you would really want to be in charge of anything, given the events of last year. And then it's had a major impact on you know, the first year of Obama's presidency.
The question that I know many of our audience would ask is why? What theories do you have as to why, after Obama campaigned, I wouldn't say as a full-on populist, but a pretty solid, at least pretty solidly on progressive themes, why would he then turn around and stuff his administration full of Wall Street insiders? And for folks who are listening in, you can, if you pick up a copy of Rolling Stone magazine, there's this big chart here about just what I mean about stuffed his administration full of Wall Street insiders. In your reporting, Matt, why do you think, what reasons, rationales could you come up with for why he has done this?
Well, that's kind of the big mystery, and to be perfectly honest, I didn't get a good answer to that question when I asked it throughout when I was trying to write the story. But, you know, there are a couple of theories. One is that Barack Obama is just naive, and one of the things you do have to remember about economics is that all of this stuff that's going on in the financial services industry is immensely complicated and very intimidating to people who don't come from that world. And it's plausible to think that Barack Obama had people whispering in his ear and telling him, these are the guys who were the pros, who've been there, who've run a Treasury Department before, who've done this job before, and you need to have them in to reassure Wall Street at a time when it's very, very... it's facing, you know, terrible losses. That's possible. There's the more cynical conclusion, which is just that he ran as a populist to get votes, and then once he was in office, they started thinking about raising money for reelection, and that's why you had to bring these guys in. A lot of them were bundlers who raised a lot of money for Obama, so there's the quid pro quo aspect, too. I mean, I think it's probably a combination of all of these things when you put it together. But the end result is undeniable that he did bring in a team that was almost exclusively from that world.
Now, before we get to what that means in terms of policy, and again, on the line with us, Matt Taibbi, he has a new article in Rolling Stone magazine, Obama's Wall Street Sellout, or the other headline, Obama's Big Sellout. You've seen him on Real Time with Bill Maher. You've seen his books, and before we get to what policies that has resulted in, this stuffing of the administration of Wall Street insiders, there's going to be this. There's Ben Bernanke, for instance, the Federal Reserve Chairman, is up for renomination. And people are starting to ask, well, if he gets rejected, and the off chance that he gets rejected, are there other people out there who are qualified to do a job like that? And I ask that in a bigger way, in the sense of, you alluded to the idea that, well, you know, Wall Street and financial reform and economic policy is complicated, so maybe putting in Wall Streeters, you always hear, well, we've had to put in the Wall Streeters because they're the ones who know how the system works. I mean, in your reporting on all of these issues over the years, is that a false choice, the idea that there's just nobody other than Wall Street insiders who know how Wall Street works? Or are there other folks out there who could have just as easily been put in these top positions who just were passed over?
Well, I think there's really three choices. You can either choose Wall Street insiders who have a track record that shows them, you know, of bearing direct responsibility for the financial crisis, and that's a group of people that includes people like Bob Rubin you know, Jamie Dimon, who's now being considered for the Treasury role and to replace Tim Geithner.
Well, he's the CEO of, what was it, J.P. Morgan, right?
J.P. Morgan Chase, yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's that group. Then there's a group of, you might say, Wall Street, you know, people who are professionals who maybe don't have such a terrible track record. And then the third group would be people who are not from that world and who are career public servants who are still competent to do that job. Now, Obama has people from all three groups in his administration. The problem is that all the people with the power are from the first group. And a great example of the kind of person who would be qualified to do Ben Bernanke's job is somebody who's actually already had that job, and that's Paul Volcker, who's in Obama's administration. He has kind of a no-show job as the head of a president's, economic commission. But it doesn't really have any teeth, that commission. It didn't even meet until the middle of May last year. But Volcker's a guy who was basically a career public servant. He was the Fed chairman once. He had a lot of influence on Obama's speech writing during the campaign, and he pressed Obama to talk about the moral hazard of bailouts after, that whole thing got started. But he's been sidelined in this whole process, and he's increasingly upset about it, and that's why you're starting to hear him complain. And I think it's a false choice. It's the argument that Wall Street always makes, that we're the only people who understand this stuff, so you have to put us in charge. But it's not true, And even if you do accept that argument, you don't have to put the worst people from Wall Street in charge, and that's what Obama did.
What does this mean policy-wise? I mean, what is the direct, so that people out there understand this, that it's not just, we're not just having an academic argument here about whether Wall Streeters are in the administration or not. In your mind, what has been done because of these personnel choices versus what could have been done if there were other people in those same offices?
Well, the first thing that you have to look at is the bailouts. And, all the people who were involved with the bailouts that began under George Bush, the key figures, Tim Geithner, Ben Bernanke, they all were retained, first of all. And you have to remember there was a kind of a quid pro quo that went on. Obama got elected. The next day he brought in Michael Froman, who was his Harvard classmate, who was from a high-ranking Citigroup executive, to run all of his economic hires. Froman then hired Jamie Rubin, Bob Rubin's son, to be his sort of second-in-command. And so Obama has a team of sitting Citigroup executive hiring, making all his economic hires. During that time period, the bailout of Citigroup is executed, a $306 billion bailout of Citigroup that was a terrible deal for the government. And the same day that bailout is announced, Michael Froman, a sitting Citigroup executive, gives Timothy Geithner, the guy who did that bailout, the Treasury Secretary.
So I just got to repeat this again. So Obama, after he gets elected, he puts in charge of staffing the government. He puts
right.
in charge, among others, Michael Froman, who is a top executive at Citigroup.
Who doesn't resign.
Right. So he's simultaneously advising, in charge of basically personnel, economic personnel nominations in the government, while he's a Citigroup executive. And on the same day that the government bails out Citigroup, Froman then hires or forwards the appointment of Timothy Geithner, the New York Fed chief, who is a part of, at that moment, part of authorizing that bailout.
Yeah, he was really the chief architect
of that bailout. I mean, that is, if that happened, I mean, the thing is, if that happened during the Bush administration, first of all, some people would just say, well, of course, that's business as usual. But progressives and liberals would be going insane.
Yeah, now it's the kind of thing you would see in a third world country, that kind of stuff. And what was even, it was more amazing is that Froman, after that whole bill, got a $2.2 million bonus from Citigroup that he took.
That's
like a month later.
It's unbelievable. Again, our guest is Matt Taibbi. He's the Rolling Stone writer whose new cover story, Obama's Big Sellout. So obviously this has to do with bailouts. That's one big policy that Obama stuffing his administration with Wall Streeters has to do with. Where else do you think it may affect us? I mean, you hear right now, for instance, this idea that we can't fix our trade laws, we can't spend too much money right now on job creation because of the deficits. And there was this whole talk that, one of the things that Bob Rubin was all about, and Rubinites in general, is that, controlling the deficit and doing deficit reduction over everything else. Do you think that's going to be a part of this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've already seen that. First of all, there was a $700 million, billion-dollar stimulus last year. that was, you know, it was sizable, but compared to the $20 trillion outlay for the bailouts of Wall Street, or north of $20 trillion, depending on who you're listening to, you know, it wasn't certainly commensurate with what they were giving to Wall Street. And, you know, the mortgage relief program was, what, $75 million or $75 billion, something like that. But as soon, you know, as we started heading towards, the, you know, 2010, suddenly Barack Obama kind of surprised everybody about a month and a half ago when he was in China and said that deficit reduction was going to be a focus of his, you know, his State of the Union speech. Well, he didn't say that, but that was leaked out at that time.
Right.
And then Peter Orszag, his budget director, who again used to work for Bob Rubin, he ran the Hamilton project for Rubin, he started making noise about how deficit reduction was going to be a focus next year. And this was happening while the leaders in Congress, the Democratic leaders in Congress, like Nancy Pelosi, were saying exactly the opposite, saying we're going to have to spend more next year on jobs, you know, for actual people. So you can see there's a dichotomy in the Democratic Party right now. You have sort of the Rubinites in the Obama White House who are saying we're going to have to cut spending, you know, and while the sort of, you know, the rest of the party, the people who were, you know, elected by, you know, in Congress, are saying, you know, we have to spend more to get, you know, ordinary people working again. So this is where you see the effect of the sort of Bob Rubin school of thought, you know, and it's affected Obama's policies throughout. I mean, you remember as a candidate, he said he's going to rewrite all the free trade agreements, but then it's elected and all these Rubinites are there, and of course they don't believe in that, so they dropped that whole idea.
Yeah, and it's one on the list of promises that people are asking questions about now. Matt Taibbi, again, his new article, Obama's Big Sellout, it's in the current edition of Rolling Stone magazine. Matt, thanks for the reporting. Thanks for taking the time this morning, man. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
All right.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
8:34 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We've posted a video of Matt Taibbi discussing further this article that he's written on our website at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page, and that video is right up there. After the break, we'll fill you in on a couple of local news stories. Doug Bruce back in the news. Speaking of crazy, strange people. Doug Bruce back in the news.
Yeah, I can only say Doug Bruce, man, it's always negative stuff when he's in the news, right?
Always negative stuff. And Sarah Palin in the news here in Colorado. Yes, she was here in Colorado Springs.
She brought that cold temperatures with her, just like her cold heart.
She did. She did. So I'll fill you in on a couple of local news stories, then we'll get back to your calls, see what you think. You've now heard from Chris Hedges, who says liberals are useless because we don't put up any fight, any pressure against President Obama and the Democrats. Now you just heard from Matt Taibbi saying that the Obama administration, in his investigative reporting, has stuffed its team full of Wall Street insiders. What do you think about this, and what should we do about it? 303-713-7600 after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, stop and go on I-25 in a few different areas. First, 120th down to 84th, again from 58th to Colfax. Have an accident there, too, around 38th Avenue. Also super heavy stop and go Emerson Street up to Colorado. Northbounders starting to loosen up a little bit, but you will tap the brakes there after Emerson Street. Stop and go on the turnpike eastbound, Table Mesa Drive to Wadsworth. That's a little bit unusual. Have a three-car crash northbound 225 approaching Mississippi. Also accidents on C-470 westbound side at 285. Also have one in the opposing lanes. There looks like that one has just been moved, though. New crash westbound 6th Avenue around Federal. That one's blocking the left lane. Also a crash westbound I-70 at 6th Avenue. Rollover there, pretty serious situation. And on the surface streets, Hamden, just east of I-25, that's on the eastbound side. Again, a rollover at 27th in Colorado. The forecast, mostly sunny, but still cold with a high of 16 degrees. Wind chills making it feel a lot colder, though. Tonight, an overnight low of -2. Right now, -4 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Babies cry, so what's your plan? Learn how to soothe the crying baby and what to do when you can't stop the crying. Learn how to prepare caregivers and how to talk to anyone about shaken baby syndrome. Visit calmacryingbaby.org today.
With 5 times the selection, Jared is where to go for diamond jewelry this holiday.
That's Jared!
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, has literally hundreds of diamond bracelets, earrings, necklaces, and rings to choose from. Diamond solitaire earrings are always a great choice. At Jared, their extensive selection is priced from under $80 to $5,300 and includes their certified colorless diamonds.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
A flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb. Airbags don't work, and the car's electrical systems are rusting away. Avoid these waterlogged wrecks. Make sure you see a free Carfax vehicle history report. Just say, "Show me the Carfax," or go to Carfax.com.
Do you owe money? Have big bills? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to your bank and tell them you don't want to pay them back, or you'll give them back some of their money, but not all of it. If you did this, you'd get thrown out of the bank. But as crazy as this sounds, this is exactly what the partner companies and National Debt Relief will do for you. If you have credit card debt, department store card debt, gas card debt, medical bills, or any unsecured debt, National Debt Relief firms will help you settle those debts for less than what you owe. It's that simple, but you have to call them. So grab a pen and take down this number, or better yet, store it in your cell phone right now. 1-800-426-7119. When you call this number, you're going to get free information that holds the secrets the banks don't want you to know. Free information that lets you pay less than you owe. 1-800-426-7119. Come on, you only have so much money, so stop throwing it away. Get your free information now. 1-800-426-7119. This is a limited time offer, so call today. 1-800-426-7119.
It's that time of year again. If you're wishing for a new front load washer and dryer or a new stainless steel kitchen, I hope you'll spend some time with us this holiday season. Hi, I'm Brad Barnett, president of Mountain High Appliance in Louisville. From our humble beginnings in my garage in 1993, people say our success is because of our low prices. Some like the test drive kitchens. I know we carry more brands than any store in Colorado, but to me, the real value is my staff. Friendly, knowledgeable, and more experienced than you'll find at any big box store. Don't believe me? Visit our super showroom in Louisville and see what real old-fashioned service is all about. Our world-class installers will be at your home before you know it, and you'll experience what we call the Mountain High Difference, or simply the best. Ask about our Thermador 1-2 Free event. Save up to $6,000 on a new kitchen from Thermador. With two Thermador appliances, your third is free. Visit us weekdays till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5, just north of Flatirons Mall in Louisville, or on the web at mountainhighappliance.com. Happy holidays. Thank you.
License 707-193.
Hey, are you currently renting? And you've kind of felt like a second-class citizen for years, sort of like a smoker. Well, I got news for you. Not owning a house over the last couple years is one of the best investment decisions you've ever made. But now's the time. The country's a garage sale, and not buying a house now could become the worst investment decision you've ever made. If you ever, ever, ever plan on owning a house, now's simply the best time in history. Lenox Financial will pre-qualify you first. Then we're going to place you with the meanest, sharpest, most aggressive real estate agent you can imagine. Now you're locked, loaded, fully pre-approved, and you've gained the leverage to negotiate. Go find your dream home for whatever you're paying in rent now. Find your dream home for what you're paying in rent now. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of Earth.
Call Lenox Financial, 720-889-9400. That's Lenox Financial, 720-889-9400.
840 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's a balmy negative 5 out right now. At least it's clear skies, I guess. At 9:05, we're going to be joined by MSNBC's newest star, Dylan Ratigan. He's got a new show called The Morning Meeting, which is being expanded. And he has been doing some solid reporting on financial issues. He comes out of the business reporting world. So tune in for that. Check our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page for our must-read of the day. We're going to be doing that every day now. The must-read of the day is a piece by Salon.com's Glenn Greenwald about whether progressives, Democrats, and liberals should be willing to criticize President Obama and what the dangers are and what the opportunities are there. I know we've had a lot of discussion about that, so check it at our website. Some local news that I want to fill you in on before we get back to the phones. Hundreds gather in Colorado Springs to see Sarah Palin. It's a story in the Denver Post about how a number of folks, I guess event organizers, cut the number of guaranteed signatures last night from 1,000 down to 600. Down in Colorado Springs, Sarah Palin was there, unfortunately. Notice, it's very interesting, I said this before, notice that she doesn't really go, she hasn't really gone to big cities. She's gone to somewhat smaller cities that are conservative, really conservative bastions, places like Fort Wayne, Indiana, instead of Indianapolis, places like Colorado Springs instead of Denver. No disrespect to Colorado Springs, but it is an interesting strategy of hers that she doesn't want to really talk to anyone other than the hardest of hardcore conservative activists. Doug Bruce, speaking of hardcore conservative activists, Doug Bruce back in the news. Colorado Springs Gazette reports that a municipal court down there gave Bruce the holiday present he asked for, acquittal on a trespass charge stemming from an attempt to gather petition signatures at a Costco store. Also speaking of right-wing conservative activists, the headline of the Denver Post, efforts to clear Republican field is angering some conservatives, a move by gubernatorial candidate Scott McGinnis, who, of course, has claimed to be the leader of the Colorado Tea Party movement. The move by him to clear opponents from the Republican primary field for governor and unite the state party under one banner has instead driven away some faction he had hoped to court. Now, remember the contest, folks. If you can, on a radio show, on a TV show, or even if you bring a handheld camera and get it on video, you calling to his face, not just screaming, but right, you know, interpersonally here, calling to his face, Scott McGinnis, Captain or King Teabag, you'll win a free copy of my book, The Uprising, signed free copy of my book, The Uprising, and a family four-pack to the Genghis Khan exhibit here in Denver. So that is an open contest. You have to send us proof if you've done it. We're getting a lot of instant messages right now, a lot of instant messages about the interviews we've done today. We heard from Chris Hedges, his article, Liberals Are Useless. And we just heard from Matt Taibbi, the Rolling Stone reporter, about how President Obama has stuffed his administration full of Wall Street insiders. This comes as new polls show that President Obama is down to 46% in the polls and a huge erosion in support among Democrats. What do you think is going on? Should we be able to criticize President Obama? Or do you think progressives are abandoning their president? 303-713-7600. A lot of you criticize me for being opposed to the Afghanistan escalation. And I'm curious what you think now, especially in light of news right off the wire that the Senate Democrats, apparently now with President Obama's blessing, are getting rid of the public option in their health care bill. So what do you think? 303-713-7600. We'll go to Brian in Boulder. Brian, you're on AM 760.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
Good show.
Thank you.
Welcome. Well, your last comment there, they had to get rid of the public option, or otherwise, due to that amendment that was put forth by a couple Republicans, senators, I believe, they would have had to, everyone in the Congress and also the White House and their staff would have had to go under the public option themselves. That was an amendment that was put forth.
They voted it down.
No doubt. Well, actually, they were saying they would go for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's been right. I don't think it's been voted on. You're referring to the amendment that we discussed a couple days ago, co-sponsored by Al Franken and right-wing Republican Tom Coburn, to force Congress, the president, and his staff into the public option if a public option is created.
Initially, I haven't been following it a whole lot, but it was my understanding from a broadcast I heard that it was initially put forth by two Republicans.
It was.
And then Al Franken and some other Democrats said, far out, we'll go for it.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened.
And you know all those guys are not going to do that. So they had to come up with something, which is what they did. They said, well, we're going to have Medicare at 55 and whatever else they're doing.
Right, which I think is a good thing. I mean, I think that would be a great thing
it
to trade away the public option, though. You know, I think this goes back to the whole idea of where are the Democrats? I mean, this is an issue. The public option is just a great example because the public option, every poll has shown that 60-65% of the public supports a public option. And the question is, yeah, and so the question is, you know, if liberals and progressives can't stand up and say, hey, Democrats, President Obama, if you sell us out on the public option, we are out of here. If they can't say that on that kind of issue, what can they ever say it on?
Well, that's my thinking. You know, these people come up, and I have even said it to myself. I'm an old gaffer myself, and I've voted a lot of times. I've never missed a presidential election. And sometimes, like after Jimmy Carter, I voted for a guy named Barry Commoner, who nobody remembers, ran in all 50 states under something called the Citizens Party. And, the Citizens Party. He was very strong environmentalist back in 1980 when Ronnie Reagan's won. And then, you know, that was very bad. So the second term I voted for whoever it was, Dukakis or whoever was running in 84. And I look at now, obviously, on the big issues, we get beat up all the time. I mean, Obama is saying that John Yoo should be, pardoned, basically, and he's escalating the Afghan war. And in 2006, when the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, could have not allowed a Iraqi funding bill to come to the floor, and therefore the thing would have died on the vine, wouldn't matter how many votes they had because it wouldn't have been brought up for a vote. She could control that. Didn't do a thing. Now, that may be such a huge issue that the powers that be behind, you know, even the government would not allow them to do something like that. But to me, David, it's, are we losing too many, the big battles we lose, things like environment, things like finally the Native American thing that's going to be passed.
Yeah,
it's minuscule, but at least it's being done.
And that's always the question. How many big fights do you lose just to get a couple of small fights moved forward? And that is the open question right now. And I think, according to the polls, at least a lot of people, a lot of Democrats are asking themselves that question. Hey, thanks for the call. Mick in Denver. Mick, you're on AM 760.
Morning, David.
Morning.
Well, David, Chris Hedges, as far as I'm concerned, he hit it out of the park with his article. And to be very honest with you, you know, when you we can throw labels around, I have no use for any of the labels on the right-hand side of the political spectrum and all that. To me, it's just, it comes down to one label, and that's basically corporate fascism, what we are seeing in the United today. I'm a union member. You've been down to our hall. You know the kind of environment that there is in union halls because, you know, you got to stand up there in front of membership people that are working blue-collar people, and they want to hear, you know, just the bottom line. This time around, when any Democrats come, you know, to solicit our vote, it's going to be a very, very tough environment. You know, for them, because from what I'm hearing, a lot of people are so disillusioned by what's been going on, you know, with healthcare, which we're fighting for. We're making phone calls and everything.
Yeah, but then the question is, Mick, at what point, you know, because this always happens, right? They're going to come to you and they're going to say, Mick and other union members, hey, if you don't vote for us, you're going to get, let's put it this way, if you don't vote for Bill Ritter, if you don't vote for a Democratic member of Congress, you're going to get Governor Scott McGinnis, and you're going to get another Republican member of Congress.
True. Well, you know, and you're talking about open primaries, which is absolutely what we need. Lastly, for me, right at this point in time, to be very honest with you, even progressive doesn't fit on me anymore. I've gone so far to the left that, in terms of just that one area of labor, I'm with the IWW. You know, I'm with the Wobblies and everything. I really do think it's going to come down to, I don't know how long, you know, down the timeline here in the future it's going to be. We need a general strike in this country. We need to get off our duffs. We need to think that the little that we have, you know, just makes the whole world for us. You know, United Food Workers, they're going to get slammed this time around. You're going to have a lot of liberals walking into Safeways, buying their goods, you know, walking past the picket line,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I got to go, you know, I got to get my milk.
Well,
you know?
We don't know what's going to happen in that strike, but you're absolutely right. That is going to be a perfect test, a perfect local test. If there is a strike at Safeway and Albertsons, that will be a perfect test here in Colorado of whether liberals are useless. If liberals can break a picket line, if they walk across a picket line and shop at those places while a strike is going on, we will see whether liberals here in Colorado are indeed useless or not. Hey, Mick, thanks for the call. 852 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
You got it, Dave. It's a pretty brutal morning going on out there. Lots of crashes, as you'll still run into some slick spots around the metro. Let's go through them. The big one right now is a crash westbound 6th, just after Federal, blocking the left-hand lane between Federal and Sheridan, single-digit speeds. On the turnpike, stop-and-go jams both directions. Westbound, Sheridan to Church Ranch, eastbound from Table Mesa to Wadsworth. That's a little bit odd, but a lot of traffic coming out of Boulder this morning. Southbound 25, busy in the normal spots, 120th to 84th, again from I-70 to 23rd Ave. Northbound 225, really sluggish. Parker Road to Alameda as you travel northbound. Rollover crash, westbound I-70 at 6th Avenue. Also have them on C-470 both directions at 285. And a crash southbound 225 near Alameda. Forecast today, mostly sunny, still cold, high of 16, wind chills making it feel a lot colder tonight, and overnight low of minus 2. Right now, it's minus 4 degrees in Denver. This head cold just won't go away, Dave.
Dang.
Tripping all over my tongue. Sound like an idiot this morning.
No, man, you're fine.
No, idiot.
You're fine.
Idiot! John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This holiday, wrap up the outdoors with Colorado State Parks annual passes and gift certificates. Your gift is good for 42 parks, 365 days of outdoor fun, and helps preserve Colorado's beauty. Search Colorado State Parks online and buy today.
Inside this truck are some very special batteries, because these batteries are going to the Mattel Children's Hospital, UCLA, where they know that making kids better takes all kinds of technologically advanced equipment, and quite a few Hot Wheels and Barbies and Polly Pockets. So to power all those toys, the people at Duracell pack that truck full of batteries, because they know nothing's better than powering a smile. Duracell, trusted everywhere.
I told you so either.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE certified blue automotive crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes.
Yes.
Tires.
Yep.
Struts.
Of course.
Oil changes.
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod.
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Come into the Sears Automotive Center for our real-time price checks and get the best price guaranteed. And now through December 12th, all Michelin tires are on sale. Plus, get a $130 diehard emergency kit free with a purchase of 4 Michelin tires. Visit SearsAuto.com to learn more. Sears. Life well spent.
President Obama has just approved the Homeowner Affordability and Stability Plan. Are you a homeowner in trouble? Is your mortgage rate adjusting up? Do you owe more than your home is worth? Or are you in crisis because of a medical emergency or unemployment? Are you facing foreclosure? Call U.S. Loan Hotline today at 888-582-0099. We can stop foreclosure proceedings, forgive late payments and penalties, change your adjustable mortgage over to a fixed rate, and reduce your monthly payments.
I was 6 months down on my adjustable loan and paying 8% interest. U.S. Loan Hotline was able to stop the foreclosure, roll all the back payments into my loan, and lowered my interest rate to 5.25%. They saved my house.
Call 888-582-0099. Again, that's 888-582-0099. If you're having trouble paying your mortgage, call U.S. Loan Hotline today at 888-582-0099. You don't need equity or good credit. Call now, 888-582-0099. Not available in all states.
For over 80 years, USAA has served the financial needs of our soldiers, veterans, and their families. No matter where you are, you can handle your finances anytime with our secure online banking. From free ATMs nationwide, to mortgages and cash bonuses when buying and selling your home through USAA's real estate program, USAA Bank provides a full financial suite of banking services. And if you qualify, you can even deposit a check using an iPhone or computer scanner. You've given a lot for your country. Making it convenient to manage your finances is the least we can do for you. If you have ever honorably served, let us serve you. Start by opening a free checking account today. Visit USAA.com. USAA does not charge a fee for the first 10 ATM withdrawals and refunds up to $15 in other banks' ATM usage fees each month. Eligibility restrictions apply. Real estate program provided by USAA Relocation Services Incorporated and is not available in all states. iPhone is a trademark of Apple Incorporated. Bank products provided by USAA Federal Savings Bank and Equal Housing Lender. Member FDIC.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. With a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you'll end up paying over $400,000 after interest. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your debts. Let me send you a powerful free CD. For your free CD, call 1-800-300-4662. 1-800-300-4662. 1-800-300-4662.
Which GPS gives you the easiest way to get to any address? Only TomTom. With just a few taps of the screen, TomTom quickly finds the most efficient route and guides you there with clear spoken directions. TomTom, go confidently.
You belong to the gang.
857 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Anna and Greeley. Anna, you're on AM 760.
Hi.
Hey there.
I really agree with the guy who, most of these people, the last caller, I'm a socialist myself. I did vote for Cynthia McKinney. Now, in the 80s, I was begging people to set up another party so we could break up that trap that we were in. That here, vote for the lesser of two evils. Right. That's what we used to call that. And basically, I've been registered Democrat all my life. I'm 74.
And the thing is, and I'm sorry to cut this short, Anna, we got to get the national news, but the thing is, you're right. This lesser of two evils stuff, we have got to deal with it, and we've got to think about how to deal with it effectively. All right, stick around. MSNBC's Dylan Radigan up after the national news.
Honey, have you been up all night?
There's so much to watch with our new Comcast Digital TV and HBO. I don't want to miss a minute. HBO has movies like Taken and Slumdog Millionaire. I can't help myself.
Sweetie, you do know digital TV comes with on-demand.
So you can watch your shows whenever you want and maybe get some sleep.
Oh, yeah, HBO On Demand. Next, I can watch back-to-back episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Big Love, and Entourage. This is awesome.
Comcast Digital TV, with hundreds of on-demand choices, plus HBO and HBO On Demand included. Get it all for just $29.99 a month for 6 months. But hurry, this great offer ends Tuesday, December 15th. Call 1-800-COMCAST today. That's 1-800-COMCAST.
Offer ends 12/15/09. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to new residential customers. After 6 month promo period, regular charges apply. Equipment installation taxes and franchise fees extra. Other restrictions apply. For more information, call 1-800-COMCAST.
Come and enter AM 760 at checkout for a special introductory offer. That's OvationHair.com. And remember to enter AM 760 for your special discount. OvationHair.com.
Ovation is so good, it's guaranteed.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. There are some 350 million Facebook users around the world, and today they are gaining a greater voice in the material they post on their pages.
Facebook is giving users more control over who can see their content, including the ability to aim specific posts to specific groups of people, so that a post that might be appropriate for your fraternity brothers might not be seen by the people you work with.
CBS News and CNET tech consultant Larry Magid, who also serves on Facebook's safety advisory board, says the site is requiring members to make choices.
These changes should take place today, and by the end of today, every Facebook user should be seeing this privacy wizard. They might be able to skip it once, but eventually they're going to have to fill it out.
Your child could be eating meat in the school cafeteria that some fast food restaurants wouldn't serve to their customers. USA Today is reporting that major chains are up to 10 times more strict on screening for bacteria levels than is the government. Food safety expert Doug Powell says lawmakers next year are due to review the Child Nutrition Act.
Congress certainly has the ability to ratchet up the standards, and they probably should.
The USDA insists the meat it purchases for the school lunch program meets or exceeds the meat that's used in commercial products. There's been a big explosion at an industrial plant near Houston. Mary Brown works near that plant, which is located in Seabrook.
I felt like what it would feel like to be in a war zone, and it was not a home being blown up or anything. It was a significant enough explosion that you know that it's a chemical plant.
Authorities say firefighters are battling what they term a small contained blaze. There have been no reports of injuries. Healthcare reform legislation may have moved a big step closer to passage with an agreement to abandon the controversial public option in favor of a private alternative with government oversight. Here's CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
This tentative agreement on a substitute for the public option now is being analyzed by the Congressional Budget Office to see how much it'll cost. One reason so many Democrats Democrats want a public option is that it's cheaper, not only for the people buying insurance, but for the government, too. The lower the cost of insurance being made available to the uninsured, the less help they'll need from the government to pay for it. But there is stiff resistance from a handful of Democratic moderates to a full-blown government option, and the bill can't pass without their vote.
Major headaches from the upper Midwest and New England thanks to a major storm blowing through. There are blizzard warnings for sections of eastern Nebraska, parts of Kansas and Minnesota. Reporter Adam Carter is in Minneapolis.
What do you think of this weather?
Fab.
That's one way to describe blizzard conditions howling through downtown Minneapolis. Others who have to work outside might have a different view, like this parking valet.
Today's one of those days you wake up and you go, oh, and you learn how to deal with it.
Minnesotans deal with it every winter, but visitors from out of town?
Sacramento, California, not used to this.
When you woke up to this, what'd you think?
I was like, what the heck?
Adam Carter, CBS News, Minneapolis.
This is CBS News.
The new Quiet Comfort 15 acoustic noise-canceling headphones are the best and quietest headphones ever from Bose, and they make a wonderful gift. Exclusive Bose technologies create a significant improvement in noise reduction. So when you fly, engine roar fades even further away. And when you're at home or at work, your music and movies all sound better because you can hear them more clearly. Compared to the competition, Seth Porges of Popular Mechanics says the QC-15s are vastly superior. Call 1-800-845-2673 or visit Bose.com/listen. Try the new QC-15 headphones risk-free for 30 days. You'll even receive free shipping. The new QC-15 headphones. Less noise, more enjoyment. Great gift. Only from Bose. Call 1-800-845-2673 or visit Bose.com/listen.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. A break in a heating coil at DIA caused a minor flood and some major headaches on Concourse B this morning. Two flights had to be rerouted to other gates while a maintenance crew repairs the problem and cleans up the mess. The temperature hit 17 below overnight at DIA. That beat the old record on this date of minus 14. It will warm up a bit today in the metro area, but the high country will remain dangerously cold.
On the ridges, we've got winds 30 to 40 miles an hour, so wind chills anywhere from 30 to 50 below zero up above timberline.
Chad Gimmestad with the National Weather Service says they've issued a rare wind chill advisory for the high country today. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper says the city will do all it can to keep more Frontier Airlines jobs from leaving town. Frontier's parent company says it will move 140 jobs to its headquarters in Indianapolis early next year. In sports, the Denver Nuggets lost to the Charlotte Bobcats last night. The final was 107-95. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where the westbound lanes of 6th Avenue really struggling due to an accident on the approach to Sheridan. Had been blocking up that far left lane. Really slowed you down as you were trying to make your way towards Lakewood. We've got crashes in Aurora, southbound 225 near Alameda. One in the backups near 6th Avenue. But the real delays are for northbounders on 225 coming around the Parker Curve. We had an earlier wreck at Mississippi. Now it sounds like they're off to the shoulder but catching some looks. Just outside the metro, rollover westbound I-7. Near C-470. A couple surface street crashes as well. 72nd and Wadsworth. And then this is also outside of the Denver metro area. It's on 119 to the north and east of Boulder. About three cars involved in that one. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect sunny skies, but it's going to be cold with a high of only about 22, 23 degrees. Currently, minus 2. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Winter driving is just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snowplows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
60 Progressive Talk. We've been talking a lot about a demoralized progressive and Democratic base. New polls out this week show that Democratic voters are demoralized. President Obama's approval ratings down in the 40s now, the lowest of his presidency, and a major erosion among support among self-described Democrats. What do you think's going on? And we talked to Chris Hedges, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author, about how he says liberals are useless. Those who continue to cheer on President Obama and the Democrats are not doing their cause any good. Now, before we get back to that discussion, we are getting on the line with us now. Oh, Turk says, tell me to give him 2 seconds, no problem. We're going to be having on the line with us Dylan Radigan. He is the new host of MSNBC's Morning Meeting, and he is one of MSNBC's new rising stars. And he's been covering the financial debate. We just heard from Matt Taibbi of Rolling Stone magazine about where financial and economic policy is going in this country through the Obama administration. Taibbi's new piece is called Obama's Wall Street Sellout. And we're hearing now a lot about the bailout, a lot about moving TARP money into job creation, and you're also hearing this big debate about whether to renominate Ben Bernanke to the Federal Reserve chairman. I mean, this is a busy, busy moment in American politics right now, and in particularly on economic policy. And I said I would encourage everybody to call Senator Michael Bennett's office and ask him to vote against Bernanke's renomination. Bennett has a particularly important vote on that renomination because he's on the banking committee. And there's a big move right now afoot to vote down Ben Bernanke. And not punitively, right? Not to punish Ben Bernanke. Right? It's not about Ben Bernanke. It's about saying to regulators, hey, if you fall down on the job, if you fall down on the regulatory job, you gotta go. Because if you don't say that, then you're saying to every other regulator, hey, you can fall down on the job and there'll be no consequences for you. Ben Bernanke went in front of the banking committee last week and said, yeah, he made a bunch of really, really huge regulatory mistakes. And it seems to me that, you know, if I went to my boss, I don't care if I admitted I made a bunch of mistakes, if I went to my boss with the kind of mistakes Ben Bernanke made, I'd probably get fired. As a matter of principle. And so this whole moment right now on economic policy, on healthcare policy, this is a huge moment. And in our must read of the day up at am760.net, click over to the David Sirota page. Our must read of the day is a piece by Salon.com's Glenn Greenwald, which explores whether it really is disloyal, whether it is really counterproductive, whether it is really a bad idea for progressives to criticize President Obama, to pressure President Obama, or whether that's what's needed right now. Now, you know where I come down on this. My take is that there's not pressure if we sit and are silent, if we do not make threats, if we do not use both the carrot and the stick to the Democrats, we will not get movement on any of these issues. You see that right off the newswire today. Senate Democrats dropping the public option in their health care bill. So I think this is the moment we've got to act. Now, joining us now, MSNBC's Dylan Radigan. He is the host of Morning Meeting on MSNBC, weekdays here, local time, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on MSNBC. And there's a new report out that this show is expanding into the afternoon. Dylan, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So your latest article, you've had quite a career in the media, television. You used to report for Bloomberg. You've written articles for the New York Times. You wrote an article recently, and your show has covered intensely the financial issues. And you wrote an article recently about Ben Bernanke's renomination. And you're somebody in sort of financial journalism and economic journalism now who doesn't seem hesitant to speak your mind. Tell us your thoughts to get this started on Ben Bernanke's renomination, why you think it's such an important issue.
Well, sure, you have to start with the most basic understanding of how our economy is constructed, which is there are two halves of it. One half is what everybody does who does not work at a bank.
Right.
I'm not kidding.
Right.
Think of the banks like police for money. They protect other people's money the same way the police protect other people's security, even people they don't know.
Right.
And unlike any other business, the banking business protects the money of others, your deposits, your grandmother's insurance policy, whatever it may be. It's not their money, is my point. And as a result of that, we have historically had particular regulations for the banks because they were empowered with this particular duty and responsibility in our society, and we provide them with very favorable, if not free, access to taxpayer money to support their business operations on the expectation that that is good for other taxpayers and our economy, because the banks are incentivized as a business structure to make money by lending it to small businesses and individuals in our country. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So you have two halves of the economy. You can either go do something, anything you want to do, and innovate and do it better for other human beings, and we will make you a wealthy man or woman. Or you can go work for a bank where you are the custodian of other people's money the same way people go become police officers to be the custodian of other people's security. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So with modern technology being what it is, the business of lending money to people became relatively low profit margin because computers make it very efficient to keep track of deposits and insurance policies and facilitate the extension of lending to individuals who qualify. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So the bankers, think of the bankers like guys who worked at a music company that suddenly the Napster comes on and it's chewing them from the bottom up. Okay?
Right.
But unlike the music industry, the bankers have massive control over the government.
Their political power, their campaign contributions,
who's right. They have all the money.
That's right.
So the bankers, just like, imagine the police decided, listen, we have all the guns. We've been given a special privilege by the government to carry guns in public because we're responsible for the security of everybody else.
So if the police officers turned the guns on the government.
No. It's as if the police officer said to the government, we want you to empower us to use AK-47s to take anybody's money that we want. And we want to make this a military dictatorship. So I want you to change the rules so that we don't just have to carry six shooters in a holster that are very rarely ever withdrawn. And we want to move to automatic weapons that we use to take whatever we want from whoever we want.
And
what the banks have done. So in other words, the banks went to the government and said, listen, lending money, they didn't say this, but it was implicit. Because lending money and because of decimalization, instead of all these different things, they used to charge a half. Now they can only charge a penny, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
A half, by the way, is 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot less money than a penny. That's a lot more money than a penny,
mm-hmm.
Right? So they're like, what if we create a scheme where we take all of the other people's money that we have on deposit, right? Because I got Dylan Radigan's workflow, I've got Sirota's workflow, I've got GE's deposits, I've got people's parents' insurance policies on their houses and cars. All this money's just sitting there, and somebody has to be its custodian so it doesn't end up under all the mattresses, right? Which then creates all sorts of other violent potential, right?
Right.
So they're like, but the problem is it doesn't pay that much money. And there's all these other guys who are investors who are actually investing money and actually driving cash that are making money. And I'd like to be rich, too, because being rich looks like fun.
Hell yeah.
Right?
It would be fun.
It's when I get to buy stuff and to tell everybody to screw off. I can walk around in my robe all day on my boat eating bonbons, and those people will still talk to me because I'm rich, right?
Yeah.
But how do I do that? So in their case, they said, listen, what if we take all of the other people's money, which we happen to be the custodian of, much like taking all the other people's security, which the police are the custodian of,
mm-hmm.
And what if we took all the other people's money and we started selling insurance against everybody else's money? So we will insure home loan payments. We will insure car loan payments. We will insure credit card payments, boat payments, standard credit card retail payments. So we will sell insurance against those loans so that if the people default, we'll cover it. So, and as a result of that, we can make the cost of food cheaper because we're insuring for any problems in that supply chain. We can make the cost of energy cheaper because we can insure for any problems in that supply chain. And we can get everybody in America into a house and a car because we're insuring against those deposits. Makes sense, right?
Absolutely.
Politicians love it because they got cheaper food and energy and everybody gets a house. Bankers love it because now they're just collecting insurance money against the deposit base that's not theirs.
Right. Okay, so where did it go wrong?
That's where it went wrong. I mean, in other words, as soon as people started defaulting on their car payments, on their house payments, et cetera, and people went to the insurance company, which is this new business created at the bank by Bob Rubin and Larry Summers in 1999 and 2000, right? And after the bank CEOs finished using the past 10 years to pay themselves hundreds of millions of dollars a year collecting the insurance money, which they're like, oh, it's a good business for them, right?
Right, because we don't have to pay out losses until things go wrong.
Right.
And then things
went wrong. Losses come in.
Right, right.
And they're like, hang on a second. You want us to liquidate all the deposits at the bank, which isn't even your money, to pay the claims? Or at AIG, you want us to liquidate the $1 trillion worth of insurance payments that we've collected that's not even our money to pay the claims, even though we've been collecting billions for ourselves selling insurance against other people's money?
So then
they go to the government and they say, listen, we've sold insurance against every car, food, and energy payment in America in order to make ourselves stinking rich using other people's money, but we actually can't pay any of the insurance claims.
So what could have the government have done? I mean,
they could have done what they said they were going to do, which is create a chunk of money, the TARP, which they authorized, and that what they said they were going to do with that money, right, was force the banks to use that money to create a public exchange for the secret insurance market that they created. In other words, the insurance market we were just discussing was held in private. It's a secret market. There's no exchange. You know, you want to buy a stock, you go to an exchange. You want to buy a barrel of oil, you go to an exchange. The problem with going to an exchange is you actually have to have money to do it. The beautiful thing about keeping this $600 trillion, which is bigger than every other financial market, in secret off of an exchange is nobody ever has to put up any money, ever. You just collect money secretly against the deposits of your customers.
So when we look at the renomination of somebody like Ben Bernanke.
I'm sorry, I just want to finish one last point.
Fire away.
So the insurance fraud gets developed, the claims come in, no one can pay it, the banking system's cathartic, everybody's getting thrown out of their houses, everybody's losing their jobs, the bank CEOs are keeping their billions of dollars in compensation, not only from this year, but from the past 10 years since the fraud started. And in order to save the system, Ben Bernanke, who, by the way, endorsed and helped create the very insurance fraud system over the past 4 years, which is my primary point and the reason why there should be a real referendum on our government as to whether they want to perpetuate a guy who created the very system, or at least was a contributor to the very system that we're dealing with. And so how did Ben Bernanke stop the machine from convulsing? They tried every plan under the sun. TARP, PPIP, CPIP, CCPP, PPPP, CCCC. Make them up. Nothing worked. All last fall, the markets convulsing. Dow goes from 14,000 to 16,000 because people realize there's no equity value because it's all debt. So what does Ben Bernanke do to fix it, my man?
Bailouts.
No. Bailouts are useless. Bernanke comes out at the end of February and says, after putting bailout money after bailout money after bailout money, and the market's still not, it's horrible. Nothing works. So what do? If you're Ben Bernanke, you pull out your final card. End of February. You've been getting throttled for a year. Everybody's losing their jobs. The market's at 6,000. It's horrible. But hang on a second. I'm Ben Bernanke. And you know what I have in my back pocket? Any idea?
Interest rates?
Nope. Infinity. And I pull it out.
What's infinity? What does that mean?
I come out and I say, here's the deal. I will supply an infinite amount of money to the 20 largest banks in America. There is no amount of money that can come in as a liability, as a default, that will be too big. Because what I'm saying to the banks is, as they come in with those defaults, just come to the Federal Reserve and I'll print however much money you need to deal with it.
Are you referring
to the use of infinity to debase our currency? I'll print dollars. I'll take all the risk that the banks created. I'll take all the risk that consumers created for themselves. And I will transfer all of that risk to the future of this country by way of infinity and the infinite production of dollars. and the debasing of our currency in order to cover up the largest theft ever perpetrated against the American people. It was perpetrated with the willing participation of our government, and the beneficiaries of that theft are the CEOs of the banks and their board members over the past 10 years. And the easy solution is windfall projects because of windfall state support. It's very rational. That's why we have it. And I expect we'll see it.
Let me ask you this question. Can you stick with us through the break?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Because I want to ask you a couple more questions because I think you're getting to the heart of this, and a lot of people don't understand the heart of this. And we're going to get to a question about what exactly, what kind of programs, what kind of leverage, what kind of authority Ben Bernanke and the Federal Reserve has used to tap this infinite amount of money. I mean, it's almost hard to get your head around it. So we're going to have Dylan Radigan. He's going to stick with us through the break. It's a short break, so stick around. We're going to continue digging in on this here on AM 760 Progressive Talk after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Still some nasty situations out there. Rollover crash westbound I-70 at 6th Avenue. That's messing things up there in Golden. Stop and go northbound 225 Park Road to Mississippi. Same deal on the turnpike westbound heading towards Boulder from Sheridan out to Church Ranch. Had an earlier accident there as well. Accident on 119 just outside of Boulder there at the Diagonal Highway. Also crash at 72nd and Wadsworth. Forecast today, mostly sunny, still cold, a high of 16 degrees. Wind chills making it feel even colder. It's about minus 20 with a wind chill right now. Overnight low tonight, minus 2, but right now, minus 4 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19. Only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have analog, press the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather, and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Today, or call 303-443-0115. Independent Power Systems, an authorized distributor of Kyocera high-quality, high-performance solar electric systems and modules. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
926 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Joining us again, Dylan Radigan. He's the host of MSNBC's The Morning Meeting. On local time, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on MSNBC, rumor has it that it's expanding into the afternoon. And we've been talking about the financial meltdown, who's culpable, and why. And Dylan Radigan, you've been in the financial media. You've been in the general media, if you will. How complicit has the media been in fueling this irrational exuberance, this bubble that led up to this?
Here's the deal. Hugely so, first of all. The government must make rules for banks that are different than the rules for everybody else, the same way the government makes rules for police that are different than everybody else. Does that make sense? If the government allows the police to use AK-47s to steal money and it's legal, well, then they're going to do it.
Yep.
If the government allows banks to use predatory credit practices to extract money as opposed to injecting money, well, they're going to do it because you can make more money doing that, David.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's just a reality. So why is that happening? Why are we dealing with that? And I would say we're dealing with that because you have had a vigilant press that has not been vigilant. I should say a press that is designed to be vigilant in the constitutional sense, who's completely abdicated that responsibility because now their only motive is to accumulate an audience so they can sell advertising against it. And the easiest way to accumulate an audience is to put pictures of naked women or salacious material or car crashes or puppies stuck in wells or whatever it is. And if the locus of greed is focused purely on the biggest audience without any reference to the quality or vigilance of the journalism, you're going to get horrendous journalism and no vigilance relative to a government that is in the process of bankrupting this entire country, stealing incalculable sums of money.
Do you think that's still going on?
Oh, I know it is. I mean, the theft is ongoing.
No,
for
not
sure.
Not the theft, but the
media
negligence.
Is still relatively weak relative to the government because the media is still not. What's their economic incentive for the media to work harder, do more work, dig in deeper and do more research, and alienate the people with whom they are so cozy, whether it's in the financial community or the political community?
Yeah, well, how do you deal with that in your own work? I mean,
I'm not part of that community.
Well, but you're.
I literally am surrounded by. Because I know that I'm not. I don't have the credibility to win a right wing ideological argument as the leader of right wing ideology in cable television. Why would you do that with me? When you could follow Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity. I also know that I don't have the capacity or desire to lead a left-wing mentality in cable television because I know I can't be better than Keith Olbermann or Rachel Maddow or anybody who do that far better than me and are much more qualified.
So
right? Why am I even here?
Yeah, how about
right?
that?
What
yeah.
am I doing here? How did this happen? Right? What I believe I can do better than either side of the aisle is explicitly, with blood in my eyes, without any fuzzy math, represent the interests of the taxpayer relative to Washington. So instead of playing a game that is, oh, the Republicans took down the Democrats, instead of playing Red Sox Yankees, Democrats, Republicans, it is mathematically, unequivocally apparent to me that both the Democrats and the Republicans, or both the Red Sox and the Yankees, are riddled with steroids, and neither of them are particularly good at playing baseball. And in the process, they are taking all of the money away and all the economic potential future away from the vast majority of people who live in this country because they're trying to protect their jobs. And they're protecting their jobs across the board at the expense of everybody else, particularly your children and your friends' children. And I believe that my capacity to directly engage the government, not from a left or right perspective, but from a taxpayer versus politician perspective, and I believe that the role, absent a vigilant press or absent a vigilant voter who is not consumed with the nonsense that we consume ourselves with, but is consumed with the ongoing public debate about the quality of our government relative to our country, which requires a basic understanding of capitalism. Banks, hang on a second, banks aren't like an auto company. Banks are there to lend money and hold deposits. Why are bank CEOs paying themselves $1 billion a year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see why, because they're perpetrating an insurance fraud against your grandmother's deposits and the government's made it legal. So well, how did that happen? Oh, well, the press failed. I failed. Right? Which is why I also have meaningfully up. I can't believe my failure. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The entire press continues to fail. Because it's easier to represent much shorter cycle sugary thing. The same way it's easier to eat sugar than it is to eat meat or vegetables. or fresh grains or fresh fruit or fresh vegetables. It's easier to accumulate a cable TV audience by selling sugar.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I wonder, and again, on the line with us, Dylan Radigan. He's the host of the morning meeting on MSNBC. You can see it local here at local time, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. And my final follow-up question to you is this. I mean, you've got to have be in the business that you're in at heart some kind of optimist, because you got to believe that what you're doing makes a difference. And I think a lot of people out there look at what's going on, they hear what you have to say, and they say, you know what? We're screwed. There's nothing we can do. What do you say to that when people say that?
And I say, are you kidding me? I say, are you kidding me? This is a country that once had slaves. This is a country where women could not vote. This is a country that has broken much more predatory monopolies than the ones we are currently in the clutches of right now. Teddy Roosevelt did a hell of a job trust busting, which is really the only problem we have economically, which is you have banking monopolies that are not being forced to be banks but are being allowed to be economic predators like cops with AK-47s. The government can fix that easy, right, if we demand that they do so. And I have watched, even just since we've been on the air, the impact that I believe we and Arianna Huffington and others who are anxious to deliver valid data to as many people as possible who are willing to hear it, and that impact has made the financial reform debate actually go more in favor of America and less in favor of the banks. I do believe that the difference now, as hopeless as it may feel at times, is that because of modern technology, which ultimately makes all information known or knowable, just ask Tiger Woods.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
And that applies to everything. And so as long as it's that the modern technology exists, which, again, hopefully it will continue to exist, and as long as there are those within the journalistic community, whether they're Twitterers or cable TV anchors or radio hosts or whatever they may be, who are spreading the basic gospel of the truth as opposed to the basic gospel of left-wing agenda or right-wing agenda, and as long as the American people have an appetite for that market, which I believe they do, I actually believe it is a certainty that we will improve not only the financial system, but all of the systems, which in this country date back to 1942 and are currently, because of technology, has changed things so rapidly, so intensely, that so many industries have been so either compromised, eliminated, or changed because of that, from banking to music, that those with the most power, like the banking industry, are using the government to perpetuate false barriers to entry and false inefficiencies, and in their case, theft, because they don't want to have to deal with the reality of a more inefficient world, which means that they make less money. Carl Sagan was great on this in making the point that when a society is going through massive change very quickly, that its adherence to tradition and failure to adapt will result in its demise. If a society is changing very slowly, like in cave times, well, then tradition is all you've got, because tradition is what tells you not to eat those red berries because Uncle Bob did and he died.
Right.
So you're like, hang on, but don't eat those berries. Uncle Bob did. We never saw him again.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So tradition is your friend in a slow-changing society. Tradition will destroy your society in a state of rapid change. And our country has never been through and continues to be in the process of, or the throes of, an incredible series of changes most people don't really even comprehend because of technology, having nothing to do with email or Twitter or anything else. But the fundamental efficiencies that are achievable across so many businesses and the fundamental empowerment of the buy side, all consumers, all voters, because of technology, because of the liberation of information, and because the information spread, the difference between those who are the most informed and those who are the least informed continues to get narrower. And we have an economy that has historically been driven by the sell side, the manipulation of human beings to buy what the sellers want you to buy. And as we watch technology continue to fracture not just the monopolies, but the psychological manipulation that is achievable through a sell side driven economy, where the marketing company decides what you buy, you don't. And as technology frees all human beings from the manipulation, frees those people from the slavery of that manipulation by virtue of liberating them with information, And as they start to make more informed choices that are more in their self-interest as opposed to in the self-interest of the person trying to make money off of them, well, then that takes the entire back-end business infrastructure and really calls it into question, because I would argue that the most efficient model for modern capitalism is take the benefits of the digital universe, best prices and best practices, which are available to everybody, which only used to be available to the biggest operators, and assign it to microcapitalism, which is the most adaptable form and is most accommodating to human beings and gets them what they want.
And I think that's the key here, is that
government is preventing that from happening. Explicitly, because the government is protecting massive industries who are hugely threatened by this change.
Yeah, and
in the process, it is costing American lives and America's future.
And that's why, you know, we've had this debate earlier on the show about, you know, how much pressure should Democrats put on President Obama, how much pressure should progressives put on the Democratic Congress, and you've just laid out exactly why that kind of pressure needs to be brought to bear. Dylan Radigan, he's the host of MSNBC's Morning Meeting. You can see it on MSNBC local time, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., telling it like it is. Dylan, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. Really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity. Hope to join you soon.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
9:38 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to go after the break. We'll go back to the phones. We will also do our News of the Weird segment. It's been a pretty heavy morning here with what's going on in the world. You got the Senate stripping out the public option. You've got Ben Bernanke being renominated. Questions about whether he's going to get through. You've got all sorts of wrangling about where to use the bailout money, how much more bailout money to authorize. So after the break, we'll get to some of your calls. And also, we'll lighten it up here with a little bit of news of the weird. For instance, a man dressing up as his mom to try to rob her at the ATM. I'm not kidding. Stick around for that after a traffic update with John Turk.
I don't know what to say about that one, but I can't wait to hear that story. Couple of accidents to avoid. Two-car crash, Broadway and Spear. Also an accident on 119 just outside of Boulder there on the diagonal. Stop and go, though, still northbound 225, Parker Road to Mississippi. Things starting to loosen up on 25. Speeds back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, pretty much from North Bend all the way down to Castle Rock on both sides. A little heavy westbound turnpike in Westminster, shared into Cherryvale Road in Boulder. The forecast still cold. Wind chills making it feel like 20 to 30 below. Our high this afternoon is going to be in the mid-teens. We've gotten above zero now. We're sitting at 2 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Don't miss Kohl's cash-in sale this Tuesday and Wednesday only from 7 a.m. till midnight. You'll get $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 you spend. It's like getting paid to shop. The more you know, the more you Kohl's. Kohl's. Expect great things.
Hey there. Cool jacket.
Oh, thanks. My wife got it for me at REI. Perfect gift for days like this.
No kidding. Crisp winter air, lots of fresh snow, the sun is shining. Does it get any better than this?
Let's think about that for a minute. Yeah, no, this
doesn't.
Is pretty much the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Guarantee your holiday happiness by giving great gifts from REI. Hurry into your local REI store or shop REI.com. REI. Find out.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. Open your media player now and click on the banner to get your free bottle of Beta Prostate today. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. To get a full 30-day supply rushed to your door, click on the banner located next to your media player now. Or if you prefer, call 1-800-213-8043. That's 1-800-213-8043. This offer is for new customers only. All you pay is shipping and handling. Call or click now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-213-8043. That's 1-800-213-8043.
Hey there, cool jacket.
Oh, thanks. My wife got it for me at REI. Perfect gift for days like this.
No kidding. Crisp winter air, lots of fresh snow, the sun is shining. Does it get any better than this?
Let's think about that for a minute. Yeah, no. This is pretty much best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Guarantee your holiday happiness by giving great gifts from REI. Hurry into your local REI store or shop REI.com. REI. Find out.
The ebook 10th Anniversary Edition is here. Save money with King Soopers, Comcast on-demand movies, and Copper Mountain and Winter Park 2-for-1 lift tickets, and much more. Grab yours at King Soopers or online at eduproject.com.
Do you know if your airbags are working? One out of every 25 airbags is not properly repaired after an accident. Make sure the airbags in your used car work. Step one to finding out, get a free Carfax vehicle history report. Just say, show me the Carfax, or go to Carfax.com.
Checks at the best price guaranteed. And now through December 12th, all Michelin tires are on sale. Plus, get a $130 DieHard emergency kit free with a purchase of 4 Michelin tires. Visit SearsAuto.com to learn more. Sears, life well spent.
Hey, I'm William Sumner, renowned business coach. If you have ever considered network marketing, you need to listen to me now. I have been challenged by a company to coach 12 candidates to a $5,000 per month income stream within 90 days. I've accepted. If you accept, you'll receive free coaching from me for 6 months designed to accelerate you in ways that only business superstars can. You'll discover that such abilities reside in all of us, waiting to be tapped. Success is a recipe. It's not based on talent, skill, or resources. When you learn resourcefulness in your business model from me, you can create and overcome any obstacles. I'm convinced. Are you? Call me now to apply for this trial. 303-904-0077 or sign up at my website, williamsumner.net. That's williamsumner.net. Call me now to apply for this trial. 303-904-0077 or sign up at my website, williamsumner.net.
9:43 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. When you hear that music, it means it's time for News of the Weird. Farmer sees divine sign in cow born at a Connecticut dairy. A holy cow in Connecticut, perhaps? Asks the Associated Press. Or maybe a divine bovine? A calf with a white mark on its forehead in the approximate shape of a cross was born last week at a dairy farm in Sterling, a small rustic town on the Rhode Island border. I'm looking at it right now. It actually does look pretty much like a cross. Owner Brad Davis tells WFSB-TV he still thinks the marking may be a message from above, though he's still trying to figure out what that message might be.
I had a pancake that came out looking like Jesus once.
Oh, man.
What, do you think I'm kidding? Came in the shape of Jesus' head.
Long hair and all. The baby Jesus in your pancakes. Police man dresses up as mom to withdraw cash. Police say a Franklin man, Franklin, New Jersey, dressed up as his mother in an attempt to withdraw money from her bank account. Man, that's just low. The man, 25, was still at the Chase Bank in Franklin in Somerset County, New Jersey, when police arrived Monday. Tellers called to report that a man wearing women's clothes and speaking in a high-pitched voice was trying to withdraw money through the bank's drive-through window. God, that's like sad.
That's pretty funny.
And funny.
It's like the wolf dressing up like Grandma to eat Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, man. And this one's even funnier. From Boise, Idaho, it's become an annual winter tale. A young boy gets his tongue stuck to a metal pole, perhaps as the result of a dare. This year, the scene straight out of the movie A Christmas Story unfolded Tuesday morning in
Triple
Boise.
Triple dog dare you.
With a boy of about 10, Boise firefighters used a glass of warm water to free the unidentified boy from the metal fence pole. Man, we are a nation of idiots, really.
Dude, didn't you learn from A Christmas Story
or
not?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, who hasn't seen that by now?
Come on. After 50 years, the UK ministry shuts down its UFO unit. This is the Dateline out of London, a Reuters story. Britain's Ministry of Defense has had a close encounter of the credit crunch kind. After more than 50 years of service, the ministry has shut down its UFO investigation unit, saying it could no longer justify the cost of running the service. It's too bad. CBS canceled As the World Turns on Tuesday, putting the company
finally
that coined the phrase soap operas out of the business of making daytime dramas for the first time in three quarters of a century.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you watch any soap operas, Dave?
No.
Never have in your life?
No.
I was kind of a Days of Our Lives kind of guy for a little while.
Is Lost a soap opera?
Basically.
Most
of those dramas about like hospitals and stuff are soap operas,
totally.
Too, now that are on a nighttime television.
Totally. Flash forwards. Like a, it's kind of like a soap opera.
It is. And so is V.
Yeah, V.
It's kind of turned into a soap
opera,
dude.
V is like a soap opera, I know.
So disappointing.
V has been disappointing.
Super disappointing.
V has been disappointing.
Except for that young blonde alien.
She's not disappointing.
She's not disappointing.
No, she's not disappointing. Turk, as always, injecting the mildly inappropriate comment. Thank you, Turk. The gland.
It's John Turk. That wasn't David Sirota.
That was the gland who made
David
that.
David is a gentleman, and I'm not. I'll just put that
that's
out
exactly
there right,
right.
now.
That's okay. Why the partnership works.
Yeah, that's why this works.
The Air Force ordering thousands of PlayStations. ABC News reports. Guess what's on the U.S. Air Force's wish list this holiday season? Sony's popular PlayStation 3 gaming console. The Air Force Research Lab in Rome, New York, issued a request for a proposal indicating its intention to purchase 2,200 PlayStation consoles. The military researchers don't plan to play Call of Duty Modern Warfare, but as I said, we've talked about this before, the military applications of video games. It's pretty, pretty weird, and this is just about as good an example of what we're talking about. And our final story on News of the Weird, in what's a surprising discovery, scientists have found tsunami-style towering waves that race across the face of the sun. This is NASA's newest finding. That is your News of the Weird. We're going to go back to the phones.
Did you see those 50-foot waves in Hawaii yesterday?
No, I had heard that they were expecting
insane,
them.
Man. Surfers are out there hitting them. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy. It's been a crazy weather. Crazy.
Yeah, there's no climate change going on, Dave. 50-foot waves in Hawaii,
yeah,
and it's
no,
like, you know,
no,
minus 20.
No, nothing to
we
see
have the
here.
Coldest summer on record here in Colorado,
right.
Coldest
too. Coldest decade on record. nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Exactly. We're going to go back to the phones now. 303-713-7600. Feel free to weigh in on anything we've discussed. It's been a busy morning. We talked to Chris Hedges. His article, Liberals Are Useless. We talked to Matt Taibbi. His story in Rolling Stone, Obama's big sellout. New polls out showing a major demoralization among Democrats in their attitudes towards fellow Democratic politicians. Many voters saying they're not going to vote in 2010. Democratic voters, much erosion among Democratic voters on the issue of health care. What do you think is going on, and do you think it's time for progressives to stand up, liberals, rank-and-file liberal voters, and say, Democrats, if you don't deliver, you will not get our votes? Or is that counterproductive? 303-713-7600. We'll go to the phones now, and let's go to Richie, the cabbie. Hey, Richie, how you doing, man?
Hey, Dave, how are you, man?
All right.
Chris Hedges, on the money. You know what a liberal is? It's just a conservative that hasn't been mugged yet. And you can witness that in what happened after 9/11 when Bush's ratings shot up over 80%. Those weren't all conservatives that were in favor of him. And when any voice, even like Bill Maher, even questioned, like, why do they hate us? He got fired. So liberals really, you know, are useless, totally useless. What movement politics and people that are not aligned with anything, that's the only way anything's going to happen, like the anti-war movement and the civil rights movement and things like that. And Matt Taibbi, I love that guy. He's a throwback to like underground newspapers.
He is one of the great reporters out there. And you know, I don't like to paint with too broad a brush and say all liberals are one way or the other. But I do agree it's gut check time out there, folks. I mean, it really is. And our must read of the day at am760.net, click over to the David Sirota page, is an article that I encourage everybody to read from Salon.com's Glenn Greenwald about whether it is or is not quote-unquote disloyal to the president to put pressure on him. We heard from Dylan Radigan, the MSNBC host, who said, look, now's the time we need to ramp up pressure on behalf of the taxpayers, because we are literally with these bailouts, with these giveaways to Wall Street, potentially big giveaways to the insurance industry by taking out the public option. We're not going to have the resources to do what we need to do. And, you know, that's where I stand. And I know a lot of you have gotten pissed off that, hey, you're picking on the president. You know, it's not about Barack Obama. It's about whether we take this moment to deliver what needs to be delivered or not, whether Barack Obama's numbers are high or low. And here's the thing, folks. Here's the thing. And, Richie, you alluded to this. Here's the thing. You know, Barack Obama's numbers are down now. And they are down in good measure because progressives say you are not delivering what you promised. So my point only here is that if we push him to deliver, he can have both good policy and good politics. If we push him to deliver, it's not being disloyal. We are actually helping him. Hey, Richie.
We should be pushing anybody who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who they are.
That's exactly right. And I think a lot of people have lost that idea because we're so glad that Barack Obama isn't George Bush. But you're absolutely right. We've got to stay true to that, because if we don't, we're going to miss this opportunity, man. Hey, man, I got to ask you before you go. You're out there on the roads right now. How do they look out there? How are people's cars dealing with this negative? You know, what is it, negative six out there? My car started making all sorts of weird sounds this morning.
I'll tell you, when I just do the airport run, and I was out at the airport this morning when it was 17 below. I stepped out of my car. I thought my nose froze off.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Now, people are doing pretty good. I mean, there's not much traffic this morning. 70
yeah,
is pretty
well,
clear
probably,
right now.
Probably people don't want to be outside at all. Hey, drive safely out there, okay, man?
Okay, man.
All right,
take care.
952 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. We do have some residual traffic around town on 225 northbounders, Park Road to Mississippi. Speeds up in the 30s and 40s now. Southbound side, busy from I-70 past Alameda. Had an earlier accident there causing that mess up. Two-car crash, Broadway and Spear. One at 13th and Franklin. And out towards Boulder, got a crash on the diagonal just outside of Boulder. Chain laws in effect over Loveland Pass. Also required on semis and commercial vehicles eastbound I-70 over Vail Pass. And as well, eastbound I-70 between Silverthorne and the Eisenhower Tunnel. The forecast today, mostly sunny but still cold, a high of 16 degrees. Wind chill is going to make it feel a lot colder than that. Tonight, an overnight low of -2. Right now, we're at 4 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Arapahoe Basin's bonus season passes are still available for just $359. This pass includes unlimited skiing at A Basin, plus 5 days at Keystone or Breckenridge, one of which can be used at Vail or Beaver Creek. Go to arapahoebasin.com or call 1-888-ARAPAHOE.
Get ready to take down a number that will change the way you look at home loans forever. I call it My Bank, My Loan, My Way. It's a line of credit that pays off your existing loan and keeps your equity available to you when you need it. And it uses your normal household checking account to lower your average daily balance, and you pay a lot less interest, which shortens your loan without changing your spending habits. The best home loan ever. 866-259-8206. 866-259-8206.
Sip Talk. Life Care Center of Littleton reminds everyone that the holidays are a perfect time to show your support and appreciation for the seniors in our community. You can visit nursing homes, help with holiday preparations, or just lend a listening ear. After a lifetime of their care and affection, the greatest gifts we can give in return are respect, understanding, time, and attention. This is from Life Care Center of Littleton. For rehabilitation or volunteer opportunities, call 303-795-7300 for Life Care Center of Littleton.
Hey, do you owe money? Have big bills? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Well, here's what I want. You go to your bank account, you want to pay them back, or you'll give them back some of their money, but not all of it. If you did this, you'd get thrown out of the bank. But as crazy as it sounds, this is exactly what the partner companies and National Debt Relief will do for you. If you have credit card debt, department store card debt, gas card debt, medical bills, or any unsecured debt, National Debt Relief firms will help you settle those debts for less than what you owe. It's that simple, but you have to call them. So grab a pen and take down this number, or better yet, store it in your cell phone right now. 1-800-426-7119. When you call this number, you're going to get free information that holds the secrets the banks don't want you to know. Free information that lets you pay less than you owe. 1-800-426-7119. Come on, you only have so much money, so stop throwing it away. Get your free information now. 1-800-426-7119. This is a limited time offer, so call today. 1-800-426-7119.
9:55 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. One reader wrote in to flag a story for us right now, just off the news wire from the Hill newspaper. President Obama is now opposing a plan to allow Americans to buy lower-priced FDA-approved prescription drugs from Canada and other industrialized countries, a promise that he had proposed. He had made a promise to support that legislation. He actually campaigned on it as a candidate. And now, on behalf of the drug industry, is opposing Democratic legislation in the Senate to allow it. There really are. There just are no words. There are just no words to really say, other than to just feel like you need to vomit in your mouth when you hear things like that. We'll go back to the phones. take a couple more calls. Let's go to Bill in Superior. Bill, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David. I just wanted to bring something up that changed my whole attitude towards Obama is when I found out that they cut a deal with pharma for $80 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the biggest scuzzball to come out of the Senate was Billy Tozen, who cut the deal to reform how we, you know, bid for drugs and so forth, makes $1 million as a consultant for pharma in order to, you know, jump and make that leap, that 1 year leap where he couldn't deal directly or be hired directly by the people that he oversaw. And we cut a deal with a guy who, you know, just padded his nest all the time he was in the Senate.
Well, I'm glad you bring that particular example up, because that's what I just read off the wire about drug importation. That's exactly what I'm saying here. I mean, not only did they cut a deal to give away money, but now you see, I mean, this is legislation being proposed by Democrats in the Senate to simply allow Americans to import lower-priced FDA-approved prescription drugs from other countries. By the way, an importation practice that other industrialized nations all over the world allow. President Obama campaigns on it. Now, on behalf of the pharmaceutical industry, Obama saying no, that he will use his power to oppose that legislation. I mean, you're right. We're cutting deals. And it's not, but you know what? I'm not even going to say we. The Obama administration is cutting deals with the worst, most rapacious industries in this country. And, you know, it is just demoralizing. And when you hear something like this, and then you look at polls showing that the Democratic base in this country is absolutely demoralized, I'm sorry. I'm not going to take the blame for the base being demoralized. The people who need to take the blame for the Democratic base being demoralized are people who do not follow through on campaign promises, people who not just don't follow through, who actually trample their own campaign promises. It's their fault. It's not our fault for calling out the truth. That's the show for today. Tomorrow on the show, Senator Bernie Sanders about his effort to block Ben Bernanke's renomination. Tune in.
The results are truly amazing. Ovation Cell Therapy has helped tens of thousands of people just like you stop dry, brittle, damaged hair and grow thicker, stronger, longer hair faster, up to twice as fast.
I've definitely seen a difference in the amount of hair I lose every time I shampoo. There's a significant change. Even my hairdresser has noticed a difference. She said that my hair looks much healthier and stronger. Thank you for making a great product. I would highly recommend it to everyone.
I finally found a shampoo and conditioner that cleans my hair thoroughly. But gently. My hair is much softer and more manageable. The product smells fantastic.
These survey responses are from people just like you, sharing their Ovation experiences of thicker, fuller, stronger, and longer hair. Improve the health of your hair with Ovation Cell Therapy. Log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special introductory discount. That's OvationHair.com. And remember to enter AM760 for your special discount. OvationHair.com.
Ovation is so good, it's guaranteed.
You can eat award-winning barbecue for half price. With Bargain Watch, buy a $30 gift card to Brothers Barbecue for $15 at AM760.net. Brothers Barbecue, fresh, never frozen, always grilled to order. Great deals like this one brought to you by Comcast.
AM760, Colorado.